Receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
On FISA, there are a couple of amendments that are being considered. One of them would require a warrant for every query of lawfully collected data. If that were to pass and get into the bill, would the president veto that bill?
We do not believe that that serves the national security interests of the United States. The warrant requirement, from our perspective, would go too far in undermining the very purpose of FISA, and frankly, it would put victims at risk.
Biden regime NSA stooge Jake Sullivan wants you to know, America, that the Reforming Intelligence and Securing America Act ensures that the intelligence community has the tools that it needs to identify and disrupt threats to the American people from hostile nation states, terrorist organizations, hackers, spies, and more, end quote. You know, the people the Biden regime led into the country by the millions.
According to the Wall Street Journal, the FBI, Department of Defense, and others have been conducting a year-long investigation into so-called gate crashers. It's happening all over the U.S., according to the report.
Section 702 continued to tighten its grip, choking the life out of the Bill of Rights of American citizens.
Where are those transmissions you intercepted? What have you done with those plans?
We intercepted no transmissions.
The legislation coming from the other body gives the government unchecked authority to order Americans to spy on behalf of their government. This was slipped in, Mr. President, in the last minutes in the House of Representatives bill, and this is the first time this language has ever been considered here in the United States Senate. Under current law, Section 702 of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, the government can order the phone companies and email and internet service providers to hand over communications. This bill expands that existing power dramatically. It says, and I quote, the government can force cooperation from, quote, any other service provider who has access to equipment that is being or may be used to transmit or store wire or electronic communications. So think for a moment about the millions of Americans who work in buildings and offices in which communications are stored or passed through. After all, every office building in America has data cables running through it. And the people are not just the engineers who install, maintain, and repair our communications infrastructure. There are countless others who could be forced to help the government spy, including those who clean offices and guard buildings. If this provision is enacted, the government can deputize any of these people against their will and force them, in effect, to become what amounts to an agent for Big Brother.
So, Director Ray, does the FBI currently comply in every way with the current Section 702 of FISA?
My understanding is that we're in compliance with the law.
Okay, so you think you do. All right, how do you respond to an unsealed document released by the U.S. Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court on May 19th, 2023, which states your agency, the FBI, illegally misused this tool more than 278,000 times between 2020 and early 2021, and is this number of 278,000 abuses accurate?
Representative Andy Biggs attempted to impose a requirement for the FBI to obtain a warrant, but that ended in a tie vote and a full display of uniparty rule. Speaker Mike Johnson cast the tie-breaking vote against the amendment.
We have to know who the enemy is and what we have to do. And if it is a police state on our doorstep, we're already stepping in. I'll tell you what, we better wake up and respond to it.
We have learned is that the IRS, in fact, has been using AI to access bank accounts of American citizens without any kind of a search warrant or even without any specific claim that they have committed a crime. So this was something that was discovered by an undercover journalist. And what they found is that the IRS has claimed that they have access to every single person's bank account. This person also indicated that they've been working with the Department of Justice and that they have absolutely no problem whatsoever going after the little guy to make sure that they are paying their taxes.
John Bound reporting for InfoWars.
It's Friday, April 26, 2024. I am your host, Alex Jones. We're going to be here live for the next 4 hours. I fully intended to be here last Wednesday, but I had to be in court. And then I without getting too many details, have a close family member who's been extremely ill and fighting for their life. So I've been at the hospital within the last 2 days. So that's why I've not been here, but I appreciate Chase and Kaiser and Owen Schroyer and the rest of the crew doing a great job while I have been out. But I do intend to be here, obviously, with the Sunday show, and I'll probably even come in and do an emergency Saturday report as well. But I've certainly not been playing hooky. And I know there's been a lot of folks, quite the talk on X and other places, where's Alex Jones? Well, I just told you. So let's just move on from that. But being in intensive care hospital for 2 days and just watching the people come and into the world and out of the world is something else. Get your head screwed on straight. I wanted to take a picture, but I just, it's people's privacy, so obviously I didn't. But I saw the oldest looking person I've ever seen in the room across from the family member who looked like they were 200 years old. It was incredible. What a planet we live on. The beauty, the horror. It's quite the experience, isn't it, ladies and gentlemen? Okay, this is like 3 days of research here built up. We've got all the breaking news. We've got all the big developments unfolding. Luke Radowski, who's a great talk show host, an old friend of mine, will be in studio in the third hour. But the first 2 hours, I will judiciously cover all of this news. And I really can't say which one of these stacks is the most important because they are all intertwined, interconnected. But just to be very clear, because of William Binney, the former technical head of the NSA, and a lot of documents that have come out in Congress and from Edward Snowden and others, we know for at least 15 years, everything that happens in the UK, Europe, Australia, New Zealand, the US and Canada, and to a great extent every other country now, every phone call, every text message, every email, every voice message, every internet communication, every private message is scooped up at the point that it is entered into the web and into the telecommunications grid and is put through NSA, what you'd call keyword AI filters for echelon systems that are 40 years old, that have been major league updated in the last 15 years. And what they call AI is just super fast computing systems that can make the decisions itself and collate it for flagging, and everything is listened to. And you say, well, I have nothing to hide, so what? Well, no, it's used to game the system and vertically integrate wealth and to shut down the human system and force a robot takeover. They're going to replace workers at all the major shops, at all the major restaurants with robots. You go into Chick-fil-A, robots are delivering on the street to businesses up to 10 miles away. The robots are delivering food. People think, oh, isn't this cute? Isn't this funny? No, it's a plan to make us obsolete using the technology to be anti-human while the human infrastructure is being turned off. So I don't say that to be doom and gloom or to scare people. I say that so that people listening understand how deep we're already in this system and that they've really held back the more powerful AI systems from the public and that it's way more advanced than the population is being told. So that's the first stack here, and we can ask the archivists to do it. In fact, we'll ask them to do that today, and by tomorrow we'll have it, and then we can play that video or play it Sunday, and it'll get 10 million views on X and really wake people up because they don't care if I tell you something while it's happening or after, but people do like hearing it way before. You can find clips of me at least 15 years ago, but back to the last few years incessantly, where I explained that the IRS gives you, through your driver's license, your Social Security number, that's tagged to all bank accounts or apps, cash apps, that everything you do is watched by AI in live time, totally illegally. So when you hear about, oh, FISA and the court, that's just a rubber stamp with the FBI that is going to use that against people in court. So they have to do a thing called parallel construction. That's where you illegally get the information to indict someone, but then after you have the info, you go and create a fake investigation around it. And then the FBI, a lot of times, is in the news today, a bunch of places, in the Trump show trials and in the J6 show trials, where the FBI goes and threatens people, like Trump's valet at Mar-a-Lago, and says, we're going to charge you for having secret documents, even though he would don't have no liability. Those are Trump's documents. You can have them presidentially, but certainly a valet that's just moving boxes for Trump didn't know it was a crime, even if it was, which it wasn't. We're going to indict you unless you say Trump knew it was illegal and told you it was illegal and to keep it secret, which isn't true. And that's now come out in the federal trial, pretrial in Miami. So on top of parallel construction, they're setting you up with the parallel construction. And we've seen the cases of prominent reporters like Cheryl Atkinson and others where the FBI either did or tried to plant child porn on people. So as Vault 7 showed that Snowden released a decade ago, Edward Snowden of the NSA, high-level operative, manager, being groomed to be at the top until he found out his boss, the deputy director, was watching him and his wife have sex over the laptop they had on in the bedroom. See, just because he liked it. See, it's about the power. It's about the control. That kind of pissed Snowden off and made him finally do the right thing. But the point is, this is all being done illegally. So it's big news that, oh my gosh, documents show and Congress has confirmed that the IRS is jacked into everything you do with AI filtering the system via the NSA. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. Of course, I told you a decade ago that Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and Google are reading your private messages and collating those and selling them to any big corporation that wants them. Chase Bank came out last week and said, yeah, we sold 800,000 customers' complete purchase history over the last decade to a whole bunch of companies. And, of course, they sold it to insurance companies, too. Now, that's raping your privacy. So the IRS is in your medical records via your bank records. They're in everything. And it's beyond illegal. It is a whole new breakaway civilization of technology attacking the population and designing a post-human world. They're announced all over the world they're going to ban organic farming, saying it's bad. They're announcing all over the world they're going to ban beef production. They're announcing all over the world that they're forcibly going to replace humans with robots. And then say, don't worry, you're on a universal basic income, but with that social credit score to get that income, you have to jump through all these hoops, and the hoops you got to jump through are going to get more and more intense. So this is a post-human world. In their words, it is an extermination, and they've gone from the testing phase to 4 years ago operational. And then I've got a huge stack, and most of the time I'm punch drunk from the COVID news, but it gets more insane by the day. We have government, U.S. government studies, British government studies. We have more New England Medical Journal studies. Those are as prestigious as it gets. All confirming that it was not COVID. It was the injections causing massive heart attacks, blood clots, myocarditis, cancer, everything else, mutation. The shots are all full of DNA on purpose, not just RNA. And that it is a cocktail, and that Pfizer and Moderna would just change hundreds of times, that's come out in federal court with all these lawsuits, what they put in the shots. And then they would test them on different populations in a huge guinea pig operation. And they also did some big tests in five states 2 years ago where they said, well, since everybody's having heart attacks, blood clots, we'll just put a powerful blood thinner in the vaccine that isn't a vaccine. So they were just it's a mothership, a catch-all for massive testing, just as she said 3 years ago. And man, the more we learn, the more she just sounds wild. She's a former top scientist, current scientist, but been a top scientist under Fauci. And she said, listen, they put everything in the mRNA injection. All the cancer viruses they've ever developed, mRNA, DNA, all the other vaccines that are so-called vaccines are all in there to cover up all the damage they've done previously and accelerate the death. The numbers are now at 22 million dead worldwide in insurance actuaries from the injections. There's just death everywhere. And nurses and doctors and epidemiologists and scientists are all coming out. I mean, just look at some of these headlines right here. Childhood seizures, myocarditis, and pancreatitis increase post-COVID injection, FDA study. FDA finds mRNA COVID vaccines may cause seizures in toddlers. Fox News now admits discovery of billions of fragments of DNA in every dose. Florida Surgeon General. NIH defies FOIA, ModernaVax royalties paid to government. Employees remain secret. And we've got Trudeau saying, I took the shot. It made me feel amazing. Here's one of the big studies from JAMA, Journal of American Medicine. Isn't that nice? And it goes on. A dangerous vaccine for nothing disease. U.S. stockpiling bird flu vaccines. And, of course, in all those key blue cities where they murdered so many people before they rolled out the COVID shot, just to get some numbers up, they would cocoon you in a bag, put a catheter in you, and then murder your ass. Talk about a captive audience. There it is. Right out of a horror movie. So we've got a lot to cover on the so-called vaccines, the leading cause of coincidences. That's all coming up today. Oh, that's just one of the stacks. And it just goes on from there. But they then give select Fortune 100, it's not even really the Fortune 500, and most of the other 400 or so are subsidiaries of the really five or six companies. They get all the intel. They get all the crunch data. Because for decades, they could record everything, but they had humans trying to go through it. And it was a big job because you had to get so many other humans involved in the spying. They could sell the data. There's a lot of backstabbing. You know, there's no honor among thieves. But now the AI can do it. And so only key reports and battle plans, all in 3D hologram reports, by the way, I'm told by people that have seen this, and the executives go into these hologram rooms in corporate America and the government, and it goes, and a avatar head pops up and says, here is the command recommended progress action to expand the overall directives. And then they sit there and go, yes, launch operation. And the human gives the AI the final order, and it goes forth. Imagine they go in a room, they're there, hologram of a AI avatar, looks like a person. I'm told in most of the systems it's a beautiful woman. And then they talk about the battle plan and what they're going to do to us. And the AI estimates in different reports how long until they've got total life extension or basically immortality, they believe. But by testing on the massive population, they'll both do the main directive, depopulate, while discovering how to live forever. That's their main goal, by using us as the guinea pig. So as they kill us and depopulate us so we don't have any part of the future, they also then find the cures by just mass pure research on the public. And then when you go in for a blood draw, the companies, most of them sell it. They've got your database and they see how it's all going and what lot you were given and what shot you were given. And all of that is integrated into the data. They also integrate what you're eating, what you're buying, where you're going, how toxic the air is. The AI can bring in trillions of data points on a person and then just battle plan for this person. They can pull up a zzz and have your psychological profile, get another button, all your contacts, who you are, what you're predicted to go and do. You may not know that you're a creature of habit, but it'll estimate up to a 99% probability months out where you're going to eat next, where you're going to go. And so it's a breakaway civilization. It's not aliens from a foreign star system. It's humans that have developed all this incredible technology that's been compartmentalized and then constructed together for this big move they're making against everyone. And the prime system is to give you false data and give you false info and give you nothing but lies and nothing but confusion. And two men can have a baby and fentanyl and feces and needles and pedophilia and Satanism and poison food and GMO and 5G. So you get that on one side. You're fed nothing but disinfo and lies, so your human computer will basically give up and be overwhelmed and roll over into a catatonic fetal position while they have all the real data on how to consolidate and control. So it's build back better. Great reset, destroy everything except their systems, and then build on our wreckage their new world. Now, that's what's happening. That's what's going on. That's what you face. Now, many of you that listen every day or once a week have heard me say probably 500 times that the IRS is in all your bank accounts and all your personal data in integrated AI for at least a decade. For more than 15 years, they're in all your bank accounts. But they didn't have a way to get it all together and crunch it, integrate with everything else. Now they have that, and it's well in place. So, alert, IRS using AI to target middle class. Remember, he hired 80-plus thousand new IRS agents, Biden, 3 years ago, and said, I promise it's for the billionaires. And then they actually changed regulations where most billionaires pay nothing because they run the system. IRS using AI to target middle class. What we have learned is the IRS, in fact, has been using AI to access bank accounts of American citizens without any kind of search warrant. This was something that was just discovered by an undercover journalist. What they found is the IRS had claimed they have access to every single person's bank account. Well, Veritas had that 2 years ago. But this is all known, ladies and gentlemen. So that's where we are. And you have to understand that 99.9% of us will be incrementally destroyed by this. And so anyone serving the system, and I know they're hiring a lot of really, let's just say, low IQ people. If you're a TV viewer, you can see from just last year footage of hundreds of new IRS agents getting their day-long course on body armor and weapons use when they are raiding people's houses to terrorize them, in many cases without warrants. So that is the human end of the situation. So if you think this poison toxic culture has been bad so far, and you've watched humans, including yourself, mutate before your very eyes, that was only the testing phase. We are now under the knife. We are now being cut to pieces. And so you can pretend, because you work for the IRS or the FBI or the Justice Department or a college or the bureaucracy or a medical system, that you're protected. I'll assure you, you're not. And only a very tiny tenth of one tenth of one millionth of a percent. I mean, we're talking less than a few hundred people in the globalist system actually have the full knowledge of this end game and its terminus point. I have reverse engineered it. Anyone can reverse engineer it, but you've got to be able to face the full horror. That's why I've been, for any talk show host or media person, the number one enemy. Because they tune into the show and the globalists go, that guy's got the intel. All right? Now, you must be able to face the fact that they are going to kill every human on Earth. If you actually get deeper in the transhumanist writings that they follow, they believe humans are bad and are only the energy system to create this new Ubermenschen that will not be human, this new Homo sapien supremus or Homo sapien 2.0 that will not be what we see as the current life forms. Sorry, my earpiece popped off. Let me fix it. Well, it's broken. Whatever. I'll fix it during the break. So that's where we are, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm sorry to have to report this to you, but if you don't admit to yourself what's really happening, I can't help you, okay? But I want everyone knowing that's part of this, you are a fool and you have lied to yourself and you have pretended and flirted with evil and this anti-human force, pretending that you're on the winning team. You are on the losing team. You could nihilistically say, I don't care, I'm just going to party, I'm just going to have fun. The top globalists are our spiritual creatures, and they know that we have eternal souls, and they understand that they are farming you spiritually, and that it's time to bring in the 8 billion plus people into the crop and to cut you off from the real universe that God made and to take you with them into their new system they're building digitally through the Silicon universe. So this is a rebellion against God, a rebellion against the real reality, and they're trying to take you with them into a false reality, and which is described by our people that have been given glimpses of it as pain and sorrow and horror, the likes of which is very, very hard to even imagine. I sent you guys about 2 weeks ago a short video of a AI vision of hell, and I think it's about the clearest vision out there so far that kind of scooped the collective unconscious and created that. That is similar to my visions of hell, or at least the way a human brain would at this dimension experience that and see that. But it is the absence of God and the absence of beauty and the absence of truly being part of the infinite eternal, and is the equivalent of being locked consciously in a tomb with other entities that are not very happy. And their only pleasure is trying to drag other spirits into that hole with them. So if you fail the test and serve Satan, you will be cut off from God for eternity in a false reality created by the fallen entity that has created it. I would advise you to not want to be part of this. We'll be right back. 2,000 plus years ago, agents of God on this planet warned of the days we are now entering. The New World Order and all the hell that comes with it is not coming. It's here. Now. Prepare yourselves. Get close to God. Get your soul ready. And pass the test to ascend from the third dimension. If not, you will fall. The people you see running the New World Order, the King of England, the Rothschilds, the globalists, are the losers. They're the sellouts. They're the kings of failure. And the bell tolls for them. So, the AI systems are already in control. The governments and corporations are one, rolling out their attack on humanity. They feed us purposely nothing but pure lies to jam and confuse us, while they have data on everything we do and use the data to cheat us and hurt us and poison us and kill us at every turn. So now Fox News is reporting that the IRS is in all your financial transactions, in all your bank accounts, with AI crunching the numbers and all the data and matching it up with what you do. So they know if you're a masseuse that can't pay for your children unless you have a cash business, or they know if you're a farmer selling produce on the side so you can pay your bills and maybe go out to dinner every few weeks. That's all going to be shut down if we continue to comply. The answer is go to the underground economy now when you can. The answer is build alternative economies of barter. The answer is reject all the new systems and new gadgetry and new cars, where even the rearview mirror is a TV screen. and where there's no buttons in the car. The new cell phones are about to roll out in the next year. AI driven, AI run, no buttons on them or one button, and you simply talk to them so that you have no instrumentality, no control. For decades, the new cars, you can't work on them, you can't fix them. All of it is about removing humans from the control, dumbing humans down, turning us into pure commodities, human resources. And that's the full horror. So, pervasive financial surveillance, House probes IRS allegedly spying on citizens with AI. There's no allegedly about it. It's all been admitted. It's all come out for years. And it's hidden in plain view. They're doing it. They've built giant NSA centers all over the United States, not just Fort Meade, Maryland, but Austin, Texas, and San Antonio, Texas, and Dallas, Texas, and Houston, Texas, just where I live, have giant NSA bases. And Colorado Springs and Denver and Los Angeles, San Francisco, Portland, Chicago, New York, Trenton, Miami, everywhere, every major city. They're called telecommunications buildings, and then they run through their major hubs that are NSA themselves. One of the biggest is in Salt Lake City, Utah. They all integrate into this system worldwide to game it and to rig it. You think going to a casino where it's rigged 65% on average against the player, the chump? This system's rigged 100% against you. The whole system is the enemy. The Bible tells us they're going to bring the system in for a short period. It's going to look great for a while. You'll own nothing and be happy, and then all hell breaks loose. And the whole thing collapses. So that's where we are, ladies and gentlemen. A government, a corporate structure that has a breakaway civilization that sees us as not just expendable, but as bad for the earth. Carbon is the enemy, and you're the carbon they want to reduce. So here's part of the report on the IRS committing massive crimes, billions and trillions of crimes a day. Everything they monitor and do without a warrant is a felony, but that's the old system they haven't completely swept away yet. Kind of like it's a felony to create gain of function, but Fauci brags he did it. They all do it. They're just doing whatever they want. Fauci bragged in 2018 on C-SPAN with federal regulators that they're going to, quote, blow up the old system using a new virus, and then mRNA would be the savior, and then they'd roll out mRNA for everything. But it's not even mRNA. It's anything they want to put in your body. They call it a vaccine. They could load up a hypodermic needle full of cyanide or arsenic or battery acid and call it a vaccine. They've changed the definition to anything they want to put in your ass. And you sit there and you watch it. You think it couldn't be this bad. No, it's worse than you can imagine. It's worse than I can comprehend. It's organized scientific evil. Here's the breaking news. Here it is.
What we have learned is that the IRS, in fact, has been using AI to access bank accounts of American citizens without any kind of a search warrant or even without any specific claim that they have committed a crime. So this was something that was discovered by an undercover journalist. And what they found is that the IRS has claimed that they have access to every single person's bank account. This person also indicated that they've been working with the Department of Justice and that they have absolutely no problem whatsoever going after the little guy to make sure that they are paying their taxes. Mm. This is such a blatant violation of the Fourth Amendment that we have, Jim Jordan and I, sent a letter to the IRS demanding that they provide additional information about what they are doing with AI and what they are doing to protect the civil rights of American citizens.
So, Congresswoman, what's the end game here? Because at the end of the day, you can't put the AI genie back in the bottle, and it's so easy to use these technologies in the way that you're suspecting the IRS is. How do you protect American citizens and our constitutional rights?
One of the things is we need a new administration in November, because this administration has been absolutely lawless in terms of its surveillance of us, of members of Congress, of local officials, of people who are protesters, of voters. This administration has completely ignored the Bill of Rights, whether it's the First Amendment, the Fourth Amendment, the Fifth Amendment. They have weaponized the government against us. So one of the things we...
Now, by the way, guys, get the full interview. I know it's like 6 minutes long. I actually saw it. You get the full one, and at least in post, when we post this to Bandout Video and X, these segments today after the show, I want to put the full clip in there for people. We'll probably play it later, but on the live show. But I want to make sure it's a 6 minute clip, if memory serves. I want to get that in there, the full interview. Now, let's talk about what this is really all about. Until 1913, we didn't have an income tax, and the income tax is in the Communist Manifesto. Before that, you had just direct taxes that were completely transparent. And whether you were rich or poor, you would pay them. And then the more money you had, the more money you spent, the more taxes you would pay. But this is social engineering. And that's why they're targeting, when they say rich people making $45,000 a year or more. Remember Biden pledged it had to be $400,000 or more? No, it's 40-something thousand. I think it's 46,000, 47,000 from memory. I think it's 46,000, actually. So when we come back, I'll explain this. And the former Federal Reserve Chairman, Clip, admits all this. I'll be right back. Stay with us. If you just joined us, I just played a member of Congress breaking down the fact that the IRS with the NSA is using AI to track everything you do in live time illegally with no warrants. And it's not to help you, and it's not to raise money to run the government. None of the money that the IRS goes out and culls and grabs and gets goes to any services or anything happening in the U.S. A long time ago, the amount of the debt just created surpassed that. It was set up in 1913 by the Federal Reserve to control and social engineer and put onerous taxes on the working class and on the poor and on the middle class to be able to then destroy it and vertically integrate. And if you go since the 50s, when it was rolled out against the general public, because it really wasn't implemented to a great extent until then, we've gone from half the world's wealth being in America with 4% of the population to 25% of the world's wealth being here. And we're still 5% of the population, roughly, in the planet. So our wealth's been transferred, and not to poor people, not to folks in Africa or Latin America or areas of Asia that are poor, but to the globalists. That's why 80%+ of all wealth in the world is controlled not by 1%. That's tens of millions of people. It is controlled by just a handful of banks and corporations. Less than 100 people have upwards of 90% of the world's wealth, and it's getting more intense. The more they tell you universal basic income and free stuff and wealth and it's going to be happy, that's all a lie, as they use AI to game everything against you and instant flash trading to manipulate and control the markets. And now it's going into overdrive. So here's Alan Greenspan, former head of the Federal Reserve, saying there's no limit under modern monetary theory to the amount of money the U.S. government can print. That's why Mitch McConnell, I got a video of it, came out yesterday and said $62 billion to Ukraine is, quote, not a lot of money. But an old lady whose husband died a decade before, is 80-something years old, she can't pay the property tax, she can't pay the other taxes, like income tax, she gets her house taken. The illegal aliens are basically exempt from all that. And they're exempt from the shots because you want to incentivize them to come here with all the freebies, but not the citizens. Yes, they're at war with you and the old social contract, and they want to get rid of any middle class. Tiny, ultra-rich, a giant mass of dumbed-down poison people that are being phased out societally. As the police and the services are cut off, but the taxes go up and the debt goes up, we're in the jaws of the system. Here's Alan Greenspan.
The United States can pay any debt it has because we can always print money to do that. So there is zero probability of default.
Play that one more time.
The United States can pay any debt it has because we can always print money to do that. So there is zero probability of default.
So in Zimbabwe or Weimar Republic, Germany, if you have hyperinflation, it destroys the general public and everybody basically goes bankrupt except those that already own the infrastructure and the companies and the banks. And then whatever the new devalued currency is, they still control the vast majority of it. They're still able to buy everything. But because you didn't have the power to issue money like private central banks, you are destroyed. So this is war against the people. And so when they're taking your house or taking your paycheck and you can't pay your medical bills and you're losing your house, you can't buy a house, you lose your car, you're working two jobs, well, they just say, go get on welfare. Everything's okay. But then later, you got to take the shots. You got to follow the social credit score. You got to follow the agenda that they're setting up for everybody. They want you domesticated under their full control because you're meant to be taken out like the garbage. So we need to take everything you've got to pay for the country to run, but we can print any amount of money we want. And $62 billion, bigger than the Marine Corps budget yearly, that's not a lot of money, close quote. Is $60 billion in the foreign aid package enough money for Ukraine to push back Russian decisively? Senator Mitch McConnell, minority leader, well, we hope so. And he goes on in the clip to say it's not a lot of money. In fact, just get the clip. Since I mentioned it, let's play it. You got to hear it. You've got to hear it for yourself. All right. While they're grabbing that clip, it's more important than ever to keep independent true media on air. And when you buy the products, that's what you're doing. And at least for the foreseeable future, we're still here. If things change, I'll let you know. But it's essential you buy products at InfoWarsStore.com because it funds the operation. But that's a side issue. They really are amazing. And I didn't know this, as nobody told me. Nitric Boost, I've been plugging for months, has been sold out. Best seller, cleans out your blood, cleans out your cardiovascular system, does incredible things. Dr. Mikovits has talked about how it's one of the best formulas out there. Everybody should be on it, young and old, black and white. It is back in stock. Got a big shipment of it in at InfoWarsStore.com for 40% off. So if I've been plugging it and you go there and it's not there, I apologize. I need to get more briefings on what's in stock and what's not. But it's now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com or call toll-free 888-253-3139. There's also 40% off on BrainForce Plus and BrainForce Ultra, two great nootropics that act differently. Different folks like different variants. Then we have TurboForce, 10-hour clean energy. That's also selling out. TurboForce, but available. That's the strongest one at InfoWarsStore.com. And we also have Vitamin Mineral Fusion back in stock, 40% off at InfoWarsStore.com. And it's an amazing product as well. Your health, obviously, next to your spirit, is the most important asset you have. So that's all back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com. Now, our great sponsor is DrJonesNaturals.com, and that's my dad, and he's a great sponsor of the show. And if you want to support the broadcast, you should go to DrJonesNaturals.com, DrJonesNaturals.com. And I actually did have a meeting with my dad yesterday. I hadn't done this in a while, and I said, what are your best sellers? And he said, well, strangely enough, it's Rocket Rest that's so popular, was available at InfoWarsStore.com, but now exclusively available at DrJonesNaturals.com. And it's very, very popular. It's very, very strong. Natural sleep aid that gives you deep, refreshing, clean, healthy sleep. And that's so good for your whole body, so good for your psyche, so good for your immune system. That's one of the biggest things is clean water, plenty of nutrients, and, of course, deep sleep. Rocket Rest at DrJonesNaturals.com. And, of course, also, finally back in stock, discounted at DrJonesNaturals.com. Next level foundational energy that isn't a stimulant but feels like one because it cleans out the cells. It's the main energy source. Methylfolate, but a lot of people don't break down folic acid properly. Like most people have issues with it, some people real issues. When you take this, it gives you incredible, clean, focused energy with no letdown. But be careful. Because if you do have the genetic issues that a lot of Northern Europeans have, where you only process 10 to 15% of folic acid and you didn't realize why you were tired and exhausted, you take two or three of these, you're going to feel like you just took five Adderalls. Don't do that. Take one and be very, very careful with it, because this is not a game. This is not a joke. It's very powerful. Next Level Foundational Energy at drjonesnaturals.com. There's all the great nano silver products there as well, like Super Blue fluoride free toothpaste with nano silver, tea tree oil. It's all organic, peppermint, and of course the iodine. That's at drjonesnaturals.com. So wherever you go to InfoWarsStore.com, drjonesnaturals.com, they're amazing products and it funds the operation. Please support both of those. All right, we're going to start hour number two, and I'm going to move on from the AI hellhole into all the other news. I'll tell you about it when we come back.
So everyone who's paying any attention at all knows that more people are coming across the U.S. border from foreign countries illegally than any time in American history. How is it happening? Why is it happening? And who's allowing it to happen?
As soon as Biden was installed, I flew straight to El Paso because I thought that the aliens would start flooding across the border, and they did. We then flew over to Panama and went down into the Darien Gap. There's more than five dozen NGOs down there, IGOs and nonprofits. The main one is IOM. These NGOs are working hard to take over various countries. And the main funder, by the way, is the United States.
These are obviously criminal organizations. So why is no one doing anything about it?
Weaponized migration is often a precursor for something bigger.
That's the end of the United States, the country that you grew up in. Irreparable. Forever.
I'm told Michael Young on Tucker Carlson that drops today or tomorrow is going to be extremely powerful. Yeah, they can't deny there's UN bases running illegal operations funded by the State Department anymore. Trump shut those down. Obama was setting it up. The same NGOs that ran the invasion of Europe. Meanwhile, it's confirmed Joe Biden has to get walked by one, two, three, or four people on both sides holding him so he doesn't wander off when he walks to and from the helicopter from his weekly vacations, when he flies out to Delaware. And, of course, Joe Biden is just basically unable to speak now. He famously would read at the end of a teleprompter line, end of quote, repeat the line. We're going to play that in a moment. But first, let's play the new one where he says four more years, and then it's a canned audience, obviously, of White House operatives. And then they're waiting, and he says, pause, because he's supposed to pause them to have the fake applause. Here it is.
Imagine what we can do next. Four more years. Pause.
Four more years. Pause. Four more years.
It is noteworthy that the percentage of women who registered to vote and cast a ballot is consistently higher than the percentage of the men who do so. End of quote. Repeat the line.
But that was Biden a year ago. The new one is where he's saying, pause. They're like, yay, like trained SEALs. We could laugh at this, but they put in a vegetable on purpose so they can blame him for all their illegal policies as it comes out. And then by the time we figure out what's going on, well, he'll already be dead. But they are really lining it up right now to get rid of him. Yeah, this footage from a few days ago of AOC holding his hand and talking to him. I mean, that's like when you visit a nursing home. He does not know who he is. And that's because they got to drug him up, and he's got to go on depressants to go to sleep. And they got to drug him up, but the drugs don't last long, so they shoot him up. He's going to an event in the limo, in the beast, as they call it, the armored limo, or in the helicopter. So, man. Woo! What's that smell? Woo! What's that smell? The smell that surrounds you. Drink enough whiskey, float a battleship around, stick a needle in your arm. Fool, you fool, you fool. We'll be right back in 60 seconds. Ladies and gentlemen, we are in the beginning of hour number two on this live Friday, April 26, 2024 transmission. Here's a key warning on the enemy attack plan. And then a short piece dealing with predictive programming in the Avengers and Thanos. And then I will cover all the latest breaking news and intel in the fight for a pro-human future. I'm Alex Jones.
A warning to America. 25 ways the U.S. is being destroyed in under 2 minutes. 1. Open borders and illegal immigration. 2. Rampant crime and unsafe cities. 3. Mass addiction and fentanyl. 4. Election insecurity and interference. 5. The educational indoctrination of children. 6. The asymmetrical weaponization of justice. 7. The destruction of private property rights. 8. Inflation and debt. 9. The global depopulation agenda. 10. Record low fertility and plummeting birth rates. 11. Unaccountable federal bureaucracies. 12. Toxic food supply. 13. Vaccine and pandemic disinformation. 14. The trans contagion and sterilization of children. 15. Overprescription of pharmaceuticals. 16. Destruction of the nuclear family and parental rights. 17. DEI and the new racism. 18. Moral and societal decay. 19. The financing of endless foreign wars. 20. The sprawling surveillance state. 21. The centralization and consolidation of government power. 22. The destruction of trust in institutions. 23. The censorship industrial complex. 24. State media propaganda. 25. The smearing of those who challenge it.
We interrupt this program to bring you a special report.
America has been captured. We have an occupied government. Any loyal American who does not want to be a complete slave of a biomedical extermination operation needs to get informed quick, get right with God, and then start telling everybody you know about it and not complying with the system. The system is here to destroy us. Complying with it will get you killed. Period.
I will wipe out half of all life on Earth.
Wait a minute, I've seen this. You must be with the World Economic Forum.
What?
Oh, come on. You know, Bill Gates, Klaus Schwab, population control. Surely these guys have some street cred with murderous intergalactic space villains.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
What? Really? So you're literally here just to kill half the population and leave?
Yeah, I guess so.
Well, crap, you're not even close to the most evil thing on this planet.
What do you mean?
Well, it all started with... So in other words, for over a century, planet Earth has been secretly ruled by a bloodthirsty cabal of Satan-worshipping pedophiles who engineer diseases to kill us, manipulate our money supply for their own profit, contaminate our food and water, propagandize us 24-7, and rig our elections, all to make way for the Grandmaster Plan to wipe out the vast majority of the population and enslave the rest of us in an inescapable social credit caste system in which the surf class subsists off bugs and synthetic meat while the elites eat steak and hunt us for sport.
So when you put it that way, I guess I'm not even needed here anymore.
Everywhere you look now, though, people are awake and resisting, and it's growing quickly. Humanity won't be as easy to destroy as Satan believes. But many will die in the process of victory. Key report at InfoWars.com. Might want to share it, might want to fight back or roll over and die. It's your choice. Warning to America, 25 ways the U.S. is being destroyed. Whole world's being destroyed, but I think of Yuri Bezmenov, the famous on-record high-level KGB defector. There's hours of him talking to G. Edward Griffin and others. We ought to do a whole special soon and just air hours of it and analyze it. There he is back in the 80s explaining the Soviet style of demoralizing people and breaking them down. But you look at the modern one, oh, it's way more sophisticated and more fancy. But if you're aware of all these tactics and see it and warn others and don't comply and are a light in the darkness, people will listen to you, and we will exponentially refuse this system and reject this system. But you've got to understand, it's all being rolled out, not for your convenience, but it's like a mouse trap with a little piece of cheese on it, or a hook you put a worm or a minnow on to catch a bass, and you're the bass. Now, nowhere is this illustrated better than the fact that Biden gave $6 billion to Iran in just one payment 29 days before they launched their operation into Israel via Hamas. And Iran has since bragged, and I've got a stack of articles on that, that they did the training of the troops and did it. And then when I post a video about that, I saw, oh, you're for Israel. Damn you, Iran never did anything wrong. You don't even know who the players are and that Iran uses proxy armies. I'm not defending some of the things Israel's done. I'm stating facts there. And I don't like the Islamists teamed up with the left and the universities and them trying to block people going to the schools and trying to take them over. They have a right to protest, but not have encampments and block the way to people. And they don't have a right to attack police. But the larger issue is they're trying to create a clash of civilizations, and that's why the State Department and the federal government is bringing in all these radicals and all these Islamists. It's why the U.S. military is building a giant pier in Gaza so that when Israel forces everyone out, which they've announced it's imminent, Israel says it's posed to move into Rafah any day now, they're coming here, and they're coming to Europe. So see, the larger dialectic, I put out an X post last night simply pointing this out and showing, you know, Iranians and others admitting it. And people said, oh, well, that's someone captured by the Israelis. Don't believe them. I have a stack of articles here where Iran is bragging about it, and I'll show them to you. You're like, well, that's U.S. media. No, Iranian news. They said, you killed Soleimani. That's why we trained and did this. I mean, just admit that that's going on. Okay, so it's a clash of civilizations going on. So for those of you saying, oh, all the Islamic protesters are great, I don't think cameramen that the police shove into another cop at UT this week, Owen was down there, Owen Schroyer, I don't think that cameraman deserved to be arrested and roughed up. But also, I don't like the Islamists going in and taking over the schools and businesses and beating people up and checking people's IDs to see if they have a Jewish last name. That's terrible, too. You can have a tribal war going on, and both sides can be wrong. Like, that's more common than one side being good, one side being bad. But it's an existential crisis, and it's admitted that George Soros and the State Department are funding it. Headline. George Soros is paying student radicals who are fueling nationwide explosion of Israel-hating protests. You see, because it's a dialect. It's problem, reaction, solution. Wild video of NYU protesters chasing and surrounding NYPD shows how out of control things are getting. Pro-Hamas students have taken over D.C. campuses. And I've got the videos where they're saying we're going to kill all the Jews and kill all Israel supporters. No one who supports Israel deserves to live. You want to see the video? Iran-backed militias incite the raging pro-Hamas protest at universities and chant death to America. Police deployed tasers, rubber bullets, and tear gas against protesters at Emory University. Pro-Hamas protester who suggested murdering Jews responds, claims he's being victimized. Shocking. Pro-Hamas protest leader suggests murdering Jews while negotiating with Columbia officials. Pro-Hamas U.S. students lose the plot as Iran rap artist faces death sentence. Panic as automatic sprinklers soak Harvard anti-Israel encampment. They thought it was a police attack. They don't know what automatic sprinklers are. And it goes on and on and on. So, again, this is all part of the larger destabilization operation that is unfolding. Now, I mentioned Israel and how both sides are being funded. And people said, oh, both sides aren't being funded. Okay, $22 billion or $23 billion to Israel, $62 billion to Ukraine, $9 billion to Gaza, which is run by Hamas. They are the government there. So that is funding both sides to keep the whole thing going. And a big floating bridge is being built to bring them to the West. Israel says it's poised to move on Rafah, Reuters. They say they're ready. They could move tomorrow or within the next month, but that they are preparing a tent city miles away to move the people to. But then they just keep moving them. And then they admit the plan is to finally move them after they've interrogated people and done Lord knows what inside the, quote, refugee camp. And then whoever's not dragged away to some Israeli dungeon, including children, will be brought here. And they're pissed off. U.S. military begins construction of pier off Gaza for complex and dangerous aid delivery mission, CNN. But it came out a month ago. State Department and Israeli documents that the pier is going to bring them to Europe and the United States. And Netanyahu's already proposed it. They're so dangerous they can't stay there, but we should take them. And again, people that are totally pro-Islam will take clips out of context and say, I'm being pro-Israel. And people that are totally pro-Israel will take clips out of context about what the West is funding and the larger dialectic and say, I'm against Israel. No, I am trying to fairly talk about the real picture here. And people need to understand that there's a larger manipulation going on. And it needs to stop. And as Senator Paul has said, all the funding should be cut off to Ukraine, Israel, Hamas, all of them, because that is what is helping continue this on and on. Palestinian rescuers find signs of organ harvesting in Khan Yunis mass graves. Israel has been caught killing people and selling their organs, and it's gone on in Ukraine as well. Now, here's what I mentioned. And then in that post last night, I'd say a third of the posters were like, no, you're making it up. Iran has done nothing. They've never attacked anybody. You can go to Press TV, and we have. That's the official Iranian English global channel. Like RT is the Russian English channel, and Al Jazeera is the main Middle Eastern one in English. Iran's Revolutionary Guard, October 7th attack, and Israel's response, the assassination of Soleimani. Overhead shot. I want to show people these articles, please. Okay, so see that? And that's on Press TV. Iran's general killed in Israeli strikes was architect of October 7th. Iran helped plot attack on Israel over several weeks. Iran and Hamas argue over credit for October 7th terror attacks, looking to wash blood away with blood. Hamas says attacks on Israel were backed by Iran. And that was a spokesperson for Hamas, the main spokesperson, Wall Street Journal. Hamas fighters trained in Iran before October 7th attacks. And here's what I posted. They were interviewing, interrogating one of the commanders they caught, and he was admitting it. Well, I mean, I don't just believe what the Israelis say or our government or anybody else. I know that's already a fact because the Iranians bragged about it. And if you go to the October 7th Saturday broadcast I did, everybody said, oh, you're wrong. Don't say Hamas backed or Hezbollah backed Hamas invades Israel, takes hostages. That was the headline. I said, hey, this is Hezbollah funding, training. I was just pointing out a fact. And, of course, a month later, the mullahs come out and said, yes, we did it, and we'll do it again. And Netanyahu's wrong. The main threat is not us hitting you with nukes. It's us attacking you from all three sides. Gaza, Lebanon, West Bank. And now Iran has launched missiles to show Israel they can hit them from Iran proper with high-tech ballistic missiles with MIRV technology that carry plastic explosives, but they can put atomic bombs on there, and they have them. I'm pointing out the danger to everyone, the big picture, so you can make decisions here. I'm not an animal in a complex situation like this that mindlessly is in the Crips or the Bloods. You know, if I lived in Los Angeles in the 80s and 90s and the Crips and Bloods were killing tens of thousands of each other, in the at least more than 5,000 numbers I've seen, I would say I'm not in the Crips, I'm not in the Bloods, this is stupid. And if there was a group, the CIA, funding them with the cocaine and the money and the weapons, which they were, I would say that needs to stop, which I did. And I interviewed Gary Webb and all these other whistleblowers on air about the CIA and stopping the funding of it and stopping shipping in the cocaine. I did that back in the 90s. Been around a while, done a little bit, have a little bit of knowledge, trying to have an adult discussion. So I see Israel and the Islamists as the Crips and the Bloods. And then you got to get into who the different factions are in Israel, who the different factions are with the Muslims. They got the Muslim Brotherhood allied with Hamas and Iran. And then you've got Saudi Arabia, who's against them and backing ISIS and Al-Qaeda, and it goes on and on and on. But every time our criminal government is in the background funding it. Now, you tune into Senator Paul, you get the same thing you get here. Informed, historical understanding, talking about the reality. Why are they bringing millions and millions of military-age men to Europe and millions now of military-age men from Islamic countries to the United States who are pissed off? I went on Tucker Carlson 6 months ago in Maine, 5 months ago in Maine, I guess it's 6 months ago now, and I said, you're going to see Islamic protests, demonstrations, anger, then probably provocateur government terror, maybe even real terror, and it's going to build up towards the election and be used to destabilize things and try to bring in martial law ahead of the 2024 election. And now you're seeing exactly what I said. Because I study how this works. They're not funding both sides, not bringing them here for no reason. It's being done for a reason. Now, moving on, before I get into all the political news, it's huge, and the free speech news and everything else, let's talk about what's really important. Let's talk about this stack right here. And just like I'm against the war in general, in the Middle East, it's expanding. I am totally against the war in Ukraine and think Putin should not have gone in there. He's walking into a trap where NATO intends to incrementally go to war with Russia. And Russia knows that and is ready to do it. Well, I don't like that. I would have liked to figure out a different way. But that's where we are. So I saw this report yesterday. And if you want to know who's really, to a great extent, with the CIA running the proxy war, the hybrid war that's now a full war with the Russians, it's British intelligence. That's who the Russians say is really quarterbacking it. And I agree with that. And I said that when the war started 2+ years ago. Ukraine to step up long-range strikes on Russia. England is giving them more Storm Shadow medium-range cruise missiles that are directed by U.S., NATO, U.K., weapon satellites. So that's United States and the UK directly attacking inside Russia with cruise missiles. And then acting like, oh, we told you don't hit Russia when we give these to you. Ukraine will step up its long-range strikes inside Russia, the chief of Britain's defense staff has predicted. I guess he's running it. Admiral Tony Radakin also suggested the incoming Western aid will help Kiev gain upper hand despite the difficult situation, and the base of the war is never going to end. Oh, and look here. U.S. urged Ukrainians to halt strikes on Russian oil refineries is driving up oil prices worldwide. That's Financial Times of London. You know, wink, wink, we told you, oh, as soon as they get the $62 billion, and as soon as they get more cruise missiles and drones, oh, now we're going to hit your oil refineries even more. Oh, we told you don't do that. Oh, and Russia blew up the Nord Stream pipeline. Here, slap on the wrist. Ukraine hits multiple Russian refineries overnight despite U.S. warnings. And here's Mitch McConnell. $61 billion Ukraine aid package. Not a whole lot of money. Here's another one. Russia to seize $440 million from J.P. Morgan to grab over $200 billion of U.S. assets. Now that the West has done it to them, and this will cause big problems in the U.S. economy. Here's a video from 10 years ago yesterday. It was 10 years ago to the day yesterday. Alex Jones predicts Ukraine is trigger to World War III between transhumanist globalists and Russia. Now, what does Putin now call the globalists? He calls them the transhumanist death cult in his speeches. Oh, see, I don't get the orders from Putin. I give the orders. Now, I don't say that to be arrogant. I want you to understand something. You give the orders. The billions of us that do the research, that speak out, that call and talk radio, that go talk to a congressperson, that expose this way ahead of the curve because we can see 10, 20, 30 moves out. I wrote the book, this show, more than any other broadcast. It's not about bragging, it's about so you know the power you have of understanding the players and who the globalists are and what their master plan was. Putin was not talking about the transhumanist death cult West 10 years ago. He wasn't doing it 5 years ago. He started doing it 2 years ago. And you don't know the power you have. When I was on Access Television 29 years ago, Mike Judge had finished Beavis and Butthead. He was working on a Richard Linklater studio. He would watch me. I was on the air 3 or 4 nights a week. And he developed the idea of King of the Hill. And Dale Gribble, the conspiracy theorist, is based on me. Now, he's in an interview with me saying that. It's not about bragging. Now, did I know that I was one of the main influences of King of the Hill? I mean, one of the main ones. He said, "I'm there's part of me in three characters." But for some reason, my show inspired him, and he's been a big fan. We've been friends a long time after that. I mean, known him like 15 years. But the point is that it's about you knowing how important you are. I was on Access TV, and you're like, "Well, that's King of the Hill. What's the big deal? Well, that's the biggest, one of the biggest TV shows in history." The point is that isn't that important. But that's what I was doing on Access TV. This show has influenced the understanding and of the battle space across the world, ladies and gentlemen. And you boosting it have done that, and you spreading the word in our documentaries to where now you can go watch me 10 years ago talk about transhumanist globalists and their plan to take over Russia and take over the rest of the world to carry out the transhumanist agenda and the cutting off of the boys' penises and 2 men can have a baby. And the Russians listened and get it. And by the way, I go on the top Russian TV shows in Russia and they tell me on and off air, "Yes, we learned a lot. We didn't understand all this till you explained it to us." They're not kissing my ass. The Russians don't do that, guys. We woke them up. Doesn't mean they're perfect. I'm here to wake people up to the full paradigm of the enemy operation. Total human exterminism, end of civilization as we know it, and the world's waking up to it and getting it. Tucker Carlson, Joe Rogan, everybody's talking about it now. Thank you so much for keeping on air. You get a lot of the credit for this, listeners. God bless you. We'll be right back. Let's get into it right now. Oh, I've got a lot. I've only scratched the surface, and I think we've gone pretty deep today already. Luke Gradowski in studio coming up in T-minus 25 minutes. All right. I'm going to play this new clip with a couple of older clips. One's from last week, one's from a few years ago. But this is from yesterday. NASA Director Bill Nelson says far side of the moon is always dark. No, it's just called the dark side of the moon because the moon is always tilted towards the Earth in the direction it is, spinning around the Earth. And so you don't get to see the dark side of the moon. That's what it's called, but it's not always dark. Now, this is the head of NASA that doesn't understand that when there's a moon up there and you only see a sliver, that means the sun's hitting the other side. But then when it's full, the sun is hitting it broadside. It's a ball. It orbits the Earth. The Earth orbits the sun. There is a planet that, like the moon, is oriented to the sun one side, and it's Mercury. And it's molten lava on one side, and it's dark, other than starlight, on the other. But that is not what we have going on the way he's describing the moon. So it's not like the moon. Now, look, that's something probably most people really don't know. They haven't really thought about it. And I don't claim to be some astronomer, but I know that. But to have the head of NASA say it, who claims he's this big scientist, is a joke. But he is light years ahead of some of the other Congress people, like Sheila Jackson Lee, that says that the sun and moon are the same size and the sun and moon come close to each other during an eclipse and that the moon is made of gas and cheese, I would imagine. And then, of course, we have Hank Johnson famously saying that, he was not joking, by the way, that Guam floats in the Pacific Ocean, and that if we too many troops get on one side with the airfield and the Navy, it'll tip over. As you know, islands are floating rocks in the ocean, because rocks float in the ocean. They're not the tips of mountains or the tips of hills. They're not mountain ridges. They are floating mountains. Now, you say, well, I thought the globalists are so smart. Well, they are. They've cooked up this whole scientific takeover plan with a little inspiration from old Beelzebub. But the minions they put in, the Fettermans, the Bidens, the Sheila Jackson Lees, the Hank Johnsons, the Bill Nelsons of NASA, are the type of useful idiots they want. So here's some of those clips.
They are going to have a lander on the far side of the moon, which is the side that's always in dark. We're not planning to go there.
And why not? And what's the benefit of doing so?
We don't know what's on the backside of the moon, so that would be something that they would discover. But our decision...
By the way, hit pause and start this over. This is, I'm watching it again. It's so ridiculous. When you see the astronauts, you know, in the spaceship going by, and you see the sunlight in the moon, and then they go into the dark, that's because that part of the moon was in the dark then. Like when it's nighttime in Texas or nighttime in Australia, that means the planet is rotated away from the sun. But imagine him saying, well, we don't know what's there. No, they've got scans and photos and all of it of the other side of the moon. And Elon Musk has a public plan, because it's the angulation towards Mars, to where you only need a third as much fuel to get to Mars. So you pre-land what you need there, have a base there. The little bird told me, not Elon Musk, the Trump funded, it's already going on. And then that's how you try to get to Mars from the backside of the moon, what's known as the dark side and the colloquialisms. So, again, he's just completely wrong here. And it's staggering. Start over from the beginning. Skip the break.
They are going to have a lander on the far side of the moon, which is the side that's always in dark. We're not planning to go there.
And why not? And what's the benefit of doing so?
We don't know what's on the backside of the moon, so that would be something that they would discover. But our decision is that it's more profitable for us to go to the South Pole of the moon, because we think that's where the water is.
Why do you think they made that decision? I'm curious.
I have no idea.
A full moon is that complete rounded circle, which is made up mostly of gases. And that's why the question is why or how could we as humans live on the moon? Are the gases such that we could do that? The sun is a mighty powerful heat that is almost impossible to go near the sun. The moon is more manageable, and you will see in a moment, or not a moment, you'll see in a couple of years that NASA is going back to the moon.
We ought to make
the whole
her
island.
Stop
will,
again. Stop it. Back up and start Hank Johnson. We should make Sheila Jackson lead the head of NASA. I mean, why not? Wow. Okay, now here's Hank Johnson.
The whole island will become so overly populated that it will tip over and capsize.
We don't anticipate that. The Guam population, I think, currently about 175,000. And again, with 8,000 Marines and their families, it's an addition of about 25,000 more into the population.
The whole island will become so overly populated that it will tip over and capsize.
Okay. So, there we go. That's how dumb some of the people are they're putting into power, who are kept there because they do a great job with the globalist, have no idea which end is up, can't find their butt with both hands. This is dangerous. And that's how they have been able to do this for a long time. I mean, take the show trials that I was put through a few years ago, where a judge has already found me guilty. It was all scripted with TV producers, basically run by HBO. They follow the script. They have the same script in Connecticut, the same one in Texas, what I could say, what I could defend. I was already guilty. They could tell any lie they wanted to. The judges would read lines for the camera for the HBO special, The Truth versus, you know, Alex Jones, and them combing their hair and makeup and primping. I was on a movie set, basically. And the whole world's a stage, as Shakespeare said, each of his players upon it. And the public woke up kind of during the first and second trial, so they would take the comments off YouTube that had millions of viewers. Because almost all the comments were like, well, why doesn't he ever get to talk? Well, why can she sit there and tell him he's a liar for 10 minutes, witnesses, and make up stuff he didn't do, but he can't respond back? Why do they have a day of financial experts up there, but Alex Jones didn't get to talk that day? People are like, this doesn't sound fair, because it was a movie, and they didn't ever want me to be able to talk, except for very narrow areas that they wanted to do that with it. And I told everybody, this is a precedent for you. This is to come after you. And the chief counsel of the FBI testified that he went to the law firms, to the system, organized the people, and did all this. And he admitted on the stand, Mr. Jones never said my name, none of his crew did, never showed my picture, never said anything about me, and nothing ever happened to him. Didn't matter. $95 million, and there was another ruling on, sorry, it's $133 million he gets. It doesn't exist. Pay those families. Yeah, pay them what? It's all, well, that's got to scare people. We say $1.5 billion. They asked for, I keep saying 2.67. It's 2.7 trillion. I'm sorry. They said, we want 2.7 trillion. That's Bloomberg. They asked in court for that. You know, that sounds fantastical. It's meant to scare everyone, ladies and gentlemen. And they think if they just make the numbers bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and more insane, oh, Trump, $450 million, because he said Mar-a-Lago is worth more than $18 million, even though he could sell it for $1 billion. Then they go, hey, sell it. It's worth $500 million to $1 billion right now. You've got money for the bond, for your appeal. Trump's like, I thought you said it's worth $18 million. Trump didn't even get a jury trial. He asked for one. They said, nope, you don't even get a jury trial. Now, why do I raise that coming out of what I was just talking about? You got a bunch of people in Congress and a bunch of judges and people that are so stupid, they don't even know what they're doing. They just get told what to do. And again, it's always worse than I say. They found the Bloomberg headline. For radio listeners, put it back up. Sandy Hook families seek $2.75 trillion. I'm sorry, it's 2.75. I was rounding down. I apologize for the fake news. It's much worse than I said. So, we have more knowledge than ever. But the people on average are dumber than ever. The IQs are plunging. Life expectancy is plunging. Cancer's exploding. Cardiovascular's exploding. People are falling apart because they're in a trance. Most people are on screens that aren't even interactive 6-7 hours a day. Interactive still bad, but not as bad. Listening to radio boosts your brains. You have to visualize things. Reading is really good for your brain. But it is the modern television, and then all the chemicals and the food and the rest of it has dumbed people down. And then people don't even know what to believe or what to know anymore. So I said all that as a segue into this. Supreme Court majority is sympathetic to Trump's immunity claim with no trial likely before the election. Now, before I get to that stack, I want to talk about this. And I noticed in the comments on InfoWars, I noticed on X, the vast majority of conservatives are making this a political issue to attack Democrats in the New York legal system. And I have no doubt that Weinstein had his New York rape conviction from 2020 thrown out because of who he is. But it's the point of Trump being accused of rape with no evidence and all these other cases coming out that people have really turned against the Me Too movement. And the feds admit it, and the state prosecutors admit it, local prosecutors admit it. More than half the rape claims that happened never happened. Okay? So it's better that 10 guilty men go free than one innocent man go to jail. Harvey Weinstein, they allowed a whole bunch of women that had no proof, no witnesses, no evidence to get up there and say he raped them too. Well, that's what happened to me in the show trials where I was already found guilty, but then they put on a trial how I was guilty. People are up there saying Alex Jones sent people to my house and did this. Alex Jones had people pee on graves. None of that ever happened. I didn't send people, and there was no evidence anyone ever went. But it didn't matter because it was this big pageant that here's the bad guy, he's the evil guy, he did all this stuff, and by the way, he can't talk. So the judges said you can't try somebody for another crime they've committed, and that's even if these women had convicted him. They couldn't be witnesses. It's a different crime. But these are women that had no evidence. Just a parade of people up there saying this. And, of course, E. Jean Carroll had no witnesses and couldn't even tell what year it was and all the rest of that. And then Trump said, I'm innocent, so he's found civilly liable once. He says he's innocent again. They hit him for even more money, $80-something million that time. Since when can you not say you're innocent? Now, he's obviously already been convicted in California of rapes, and I have no doubt that Harvey Weinstein is a super creep. He's been recorded pushing himself on women and basically forcing himself. He didn't slap him around. He didn't punch him in the nose like Bill Clinton does. But, yeah, he's a sexual predator. I don't cry myself to sleep at night knowing that he's in prison. But the appeals court is right that you just can't walk people up on a stand with total hearsay with no evidence. And I'm not saying he didn't abuse these women. And I'm not saying that the victims are the bad guys here. I'm just saying this Me Too thing, I mean, I've seen Daily Mail articles saying I've done things sexually that I never did. And, of course, it didn't go anywhere because it was 100% not true. And I've seen articles, again, that we had a fish tank here at the office, never had a fish tank, and that I was mad at a crew member, so I grabbed a goldfish and ate it. That's Wolf of Wall Street. So we're in a climate where we've got to have due process. I mean, you see the illegal aliens let out of jail after 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 rapes, kidnapping kids, armed robbery, shooting people, and they're out over and over again. They've been given a free pass. Oh, no injections for you, no COVID shots for you. Oh, you get $95,000 a year from the feds and all this free housing and bank accounts and everything else to bring them here. So they're above the law, basically. They have a get-out-of-jail-free card, literally. And then, though, to boost the Me Too movement, to then target Trump, to make it look nonpartisan, they sacrificed Harvey Weinstein. Where's Oprah with John of God? Where's Oprah admitting that she was a child prostitute herself who then would go out and supply young girls to people? Oh, no, they're not touching Oprah Winfrey. And so Oprah Winfrey and a bunch of these Hollywood women would, on record, deliver the women that would then be abused by Weinstein. I mean, Governor Newsom reportedly sent his wife to be with Weinstein, and then she was a witness to it. What does that mean? So, and his argument was, well, this was all consensual, and I gave him big roles and gave him millions of dollars to have sex with me. And maybe some of these women are pure opportunists and are having their cake and eat it too. I don't know. I just know this. It's really smart to have your wife or your husband and be monogamous. That's how you protect yourself from all of this. But it's very, very serious. So he was not given a fair trial. I was not given a fair trial. I was not given a trial. I was given the illusion of a trial, and it's a scandal. And here's the deal. Again, I don't feel sorry for myself. This goes with the territory. I mean, I got into this knowing they could kill me or set me up and put me in prison. They've been trying. Definitely put me in prison. And I did it because I got to be able to look in the mirror and realize that God called me and has called you to care about people and to be engaged and be involved. Doesn't mean you're going to be perfect. Doesn't mean you're not going to make mistakes. But the entire Democratic Party and Mike Johnson going along with it, with no money for the border and no cutting of Justice Department money, when they're the ones not prosecuting anybody for human smuggling and kidnapping of children and slave labor, they are all now accomplices to the fact and are guilty of the human trafficking, including the murder of small children and 90-plus thousand missing since Biden got into office. So I want that to sink in when everybody's being holier than thou about, well, Weinstein better stay in jail or, hey, fine. You don't think he deserves a fair trial? You're not going to get a fair trial. And I think he's guilty. I think there was a bandwagoning, women wanting money. The statistics clear. Half the claims are usually false. I think half the women got manhandled into sex, got raped. And I think the other half went and had sex with him because that's what they do in Hollywood for the money. And now they want to boost their career and get more money. That's what I think. But that's my opinion from all the reliable facts and the constellation and the gestalt of information. But this business of arrest all the Palestinian protesters because they're scum, well, you'll be arrested for your speech too. Now, when they hit a cop or they block somebody at an entrance or they do something illegal, take them to jail. But don't arrest reporters from the local TV station because the cop shoves him into the back of another cop. Don't do that. And then don't defend that. You've got to really judiciously study all these facts or don't have a comment on them. I'm going to get more to the trial of Trump and more to the world and more than the wars. And I've got a whole waterfront of news I haven't gotten to. I've probably gotten to a third of it, but I'm going to race through it all. Elon Musk, you name it, with Luke Radowski. When he comes up next hour, also this huge vaccine news, FDA study that it's causing absolute disease, mayhem, death. I mean, just unbelievable that even the government's admitting it. It's insane. But you're supposed to not hurt people's feelings and tell them, hey, you took that shot, you're probably having some problems. You might not want to take the next one. You know, you're just supposed to be quiet, let them kill us and crawl in a hole somewhere. Well, I'm not going to do it. Also, how about the IRS using the AI, NSA technology to dragnet and spy on everybody's financial transactions, from buying a hamburger to, you know, selling a piece of art for $1,000, and then they see you spending it. This is social engineering. This is hell on earth. The globalists are above the law. I'm going to go to break, start the third hour, and then we're going to come back with Luke Radowski. But please, ladies and gentlemen, support our sponsors. Support what funds this operation. Go to InfoWarsStore.com, where we have products that you absolutely need. And this is great news. And I'm not mad. I'm so busy with news and stuff. I used to have marketing meetings and look what we have, supplies left and things, like once a week. I've been doing it like once a month. And I need to do it more often. I didn't know the last few months Nitric Boost was sold out. It's an incredible product. It's got all these known natural compounds that clean out your blood, that clean out your cardiovascular system, that has so many great benefits for your health. It's back in stock. You never knew it was gone. At InfoWarsStore.com for 40% off right now. So is Vitamin Mineral Fusion. So important. It's 40% off at InfoWarsStore.com or 888-253-3139. And there's also TurboForce 10-hour clean energy is there as well. TurboForce, InfoWarsStore.com. Now, at DrJonesNaturals.com, we have the best-selling natural sleep aid, Rocket Rest, that had been sold out, back in stock. The bestseller on that site, Rocket Rest, DrJonesNaturals.com. My all-time favorite, exclusively available at DrJonesNaturals.com, is Next Level Foundational Energy. I'm not going to do a big spiel on it. You need to research it. You need to get it. You need to experience it. It's game-changing. It's discounted. Next Level Foundational Energy at DrJonesNaturals.com. Rocket Rest at DrJonesNaturals.com. And all the nano silver products like Super Blue, fluoride-free toothpaste fortified with iodine, tea tree, organic peppermint, and most importantly, nano silver. Get Super Blue as well at DrJonesNaturals.com. And thank you for keeping us on air. So important, plus the great products. Go now. to drjonesnaturals.com and InfoWarsStore.com.
When future historians go searching for the final nail in the U.S. coffin, they may well settle on the date April 20th, 2024. On that day, Congress passed legislation to fund 2.5 wars, hand what's left of our privacy over to the CIA and the NSA, and give the U.S. president the power to shut down whatever part of the Internet he disagrees with. The U.S. and its allies have already sent over $300 billion to Ukraine, and the country is still losing its war with Russia. Nobody believes another $60 billion will pull a victory from the jaws of defeat. But this additional money is meant to keep up appearances until November at the expense of Americans who are forced to pay for it and Ukrainians who are forced to die for it. Speaker Johnson could not have passed these monstrosities without the full support of House Democrats. And as the majority of Republicans voted against more money for Ukraine. So in the worst example of bipartisanship, Johnson reached across the aisle, stiffed the Republican majority that elected him speaker, and pushed through a massive gift to the warfare corporate welfare state. After the House voted to send another $60 billion to notoriously corrupt Ukraine, members waved Ukrainian flags on the House floor and chanted, "Ukraine, Ukraine." While I find it's distasteful and disgusting, in some ways it seemed fitting. Not to be outdone, the U.S. Senate on that same day passed the extension of Section 702 of the FISA Act, which not only allowed the government to continue spying on us without a warrant, but also contained new language massively expanding how they can spy on us. Many conservative voters are asking, what's the point of Republican control of the House is if the agenda is determined by Democrats? Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer is given reported to have bragged to his colleagues about how easily Speaker Johnson gave Democrats everything they wanted and asked for nothing in return.
The amount of money going to Ukraine in this bill is more than we spent on the entire Marine Corps. Think about it. We're going to send to Ukraine more money than we spend on our own Marine Corps. This is a bill about Ukraine first. This is a bill that makes us weaker. There is no money to give to Ukraine. It's not like we've got a pot of money. There is no surplus. There is no rainy day fund. This money will be printed up or borrowed from China to send to Ukraine. It makes us weaker. Once the border bill failed and they decided that this wasn't really about the border, that this was about Ukraine's border, the American firsters plowed on, but with a more intellectually honest proposal. Nothing for America, everything for Ukraine. That's what this bill is. Nothing for America, nothing to stop the invasion of nearly a million people across our southern border. They offered a border bill that would have said, well, if we have an emergency, the emergency's already happened. Nearly a million people came in the last 2 months. That is the emergency. This is a bill that is Ukraine first and America last and ought to be.
Well, it's Luke Rakowski, but I've known this guy 20 years, so he just said, listen, Alex, you made it Radowski.
It has to be Radowski.
Is it now Radowski?
Now it's Radowski. It's okay.
So you think my butchering over 20 years since you were a young teenager, exposing 9/11 as an inside job, that's kind of your name now?
I mean, you kind of pronounced it very loudly, and you forgot the K, but it's okay.
It's my weird Texas background access. I don't say 100, I say 100.
It sounds a lot cooler when you say it the way you do, so I appreciate it.
I don't know. Rakowski sounds good, too.
It doesn't matter.
Rakowski, I'm going to stop.
I don't care.
Hey, I got a lot of stuff I want to cover with you. The wars in Russia and Ukraine and the Middle East and the Soros funding the leftist protest, but the right wing saying arrest them all. I don't agree with that. I mean, it is all a crazy moment. We're like, what, 180-something days the election? Let's put that on screen. How would you're a smart guy. How, and you're a popular talk show host and documentary filmmaker, and I think really your greatest work is confronting hundreds of globalist leaders, from Lord Rothschild to David Rockefeller to Henry Kissinger over and over again, and exposing 9/11 and being a big filmmaker. You've been fighting the globalists since you were, what, 17?
15.
So how long have I known you?
20-plus years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
There's photos of us where we look like young goobers. And I still remember back in the day going to this old kind of rickety building that you were in. It was like two or three employees. And it's been a very long time, but it's been an incredible journey. We definitely learned a lot throughout the last few years, and it definitely feels like it's accelerating on so many different levels, and it's becoming so complex as well, especially with this university protests that are happening out there, that I'm getting a lot of flack for calling out a lot of the right wingers, because I think their response is absolutely incorrect here.
They're playing into the dialectic.
I remember being in Occupy Wall Street day one, before anyone even heard of Occupy Wall Street, before anyone was even paying attention to Occupy Wall Street. It was a movement, left-wingers, right-wingers, Ron Paul libertarians, and the Fetters, some left-wing communists as well, but they all kind of came together and said, hey, what's happening here is really incredibly unfair. We all need to come together to protest the system. We don't care that a Democrat is in power right now. We need to come together and voice our concerns about what's happening right now, or we're not going to have a country, or we're not going to have an economy. And being there in Occupy Wall Street, seeing everything that's happening at these universities, there's a lot of very interesting parallels there, because now you see the repression and you see the right wing kind of cheer it on. And I'm saying, the more you cheer it on, just like they did with Occupy Wall Street, with Tony with this Tony Baloney police officer pepper sprayed a bunch of young women. That situation, that scene went viral. And I remember being there with other independent journalists on the ground. We were covering the police brutality, the repression, the attacks by the right-wing media made Occupy Wall Street as big as it is right now. And I feel like we're kind of reliving that same exact moment. And I'm saying, wait, these protests are very inconvenient to the Biden administration. The Biden administration is losing a lot of their Democratic voters because they're at odds with them with their Israel policy. And then
the cops are going to make him the good guy. Here is the governor of Texas sending the state police to beat up reporters and people to the rescue.
Exactly. And then once
and if
people
we know
see
that, the politicians understand that.
We have to play for the people in the middle. There's a lot of people in the middle watching, and when they're seeing a bunch of people saying they're all terrorists, they're all Hamas supporters, when they're not, when they see the state repress and stop free speech from actually being expressed, the people in the middle are automatically going to be siding with those individuals. I'm saying free speech is not hate speech. Let them have their speech. Let's not repress them. If anything, the Republicans should be absolutely allergic to the police state, especially what happened within the last few years. But it definitely does look like there's a lot of the kind of old George W. Bush tendencies of the Republican Party that are slowly trying to come back into the mainstream.
But there's a populist movement. And that's what drives people to the left.
Exactly. And there's a populist movement that says, wait, hold on. This is not all right. We're making the same mistakes that they made in 2001 with the Patriot Act, with the destruction of American civil liberties, with the expansion of the military-industrial complex, with the war on terror that I remember protesting the war in Iraq, and there was a whole bunch of people there, not just from the left, but people from
Ron
the center.
Paul supporters. Exactly. Ron Paul, and so you're 15, 9/11 happens, you get active right away because you knew the truth. I get to know you, I guess, a year into your activism or so. That's how I've known you, 20-plus years. And then here we are 20-plus years later, and man, the whole New World Order is out in the open. I
mean, exactly.
What is that like for you? Because you're now an OG. You've been around that long.
Yeah, no, it's stunning because it's very slow, and the way that they do it is very calculated. And they usually play up different kind of themes in order to convince the general public. Oh, it's a dumb president. It's an old president. It's George W. Bush. It's a hick. He doesn't really know what's going on here. It's Joe Biden. He doesn't know what's really going on here. Meanwhile, there's a bigger power establishment slowly itching every year further.
But now it's speeding up.
Yes. Now it's speeding up, and now there's major events. There's 9/11, the war in Iraq, the banker bailout, and, you know, COVID-19. And then the war that they tried to do in Syria, the war that they did in Libya. And then the progression is getting faster and faster.
Yeah, that's
and
a good
faster.
Point. Used to was a new big event every 7-8 years. Now it's every 6 months.
Exactly. And now the news cycle moves so fast that people keep forgetting, and they keep forgetting a lot of their principles, a lot of their virtues. And they're just kind of this hive mind that's being manipulated by all these social media technocratic algorithms. And I'm trying to say, hey, stop. Our values, our morals, what we stand for matters. It should be against the war. It should be for free speech. It should be for free humanity. It should be for capitalism. It should be for all of us coming together, figuring out our own problems, making ourselves better, not going along with the masses, not going along and just being a part of the herd sheep mentality.
Tribal politics.
Exactly. And there was a time where the internet was open. It was free. It was incredible. It was amazing. Google Videos. I remember you dominated Google Videos. Loose Change dominated Google Videos. They got rid of it. They got rid of the top 10 most viewed videos because people were finding out the larger truths. And slowly and surely, you see this larger kind of clamp down where even just a couple days ago, 2 days ago, they deleted a video I did with David Icke 12 years ago where me and David Icke are sitting together talking about how in the future they're going to be releasing a virus, then they're going to be releasing a vaccine, a part of a larger problem, reaction, solution, a dialectic in order to control the populations. We were saying this 12 years ago.
Let's slow down. Yeah. Give me that video. We'll play part of it today, but I remember that. That's what's crazy about you and David Icke and myself and so many others. We knew the enemy battle plan, so we're predicting it. Back then, those are the clips they're scared of, is the clips where we nail it.
They literally delete so many of my videos. This time they notified me for some reason.
Who was it?
YouTube. We're still on YouTube because we play by the rules. Then we go over to rumble.com/wearechange, and then we kind of go full all out. And we kind of have to be careful for the first hour during my show when we're on YouTube. But they deleted a video because I violated medical misinformation with a situation 3 years ago. Meanwhile, the video was 12 years old with me and David Icke literally talking and predicting.
So it's like
a lot of
time travel.
Exactly.
How could it be medical information from 10 years before they even released it?
Exactly. And it's like, you violated COVID-19 medical misinformation policy. And I'm like, the video is 12 years old. So, and even back then, you didn't need to be a genius. All you needed to do is go to the Bilderberg group meetings. You needed to see what they were talking about.
Operation Lockstep.
Yep. You needed to see who was there.
Let me guess. I haven't seen this clip in a while. You guys were talking about Lockstep.
Yep. We were talking about everything.
That was 13 years ago.
War in Israel, war in Iran, war with Russia. This has been in their playbook, and it doesn't take a genius to figure it out. All you have to do is pay attention.
Well, look at this clip. I'm not going to play it, but I watched it last night. It's 10 minutes long. It's 10 years ago. And I said, the transhumanists will take over the world. Russia is moving away from the transhumanists. And so they're going to start a war in Ukraine to suck them all in. And I lay all out what would happen. And how did I do it? Because I understand the players. Now Russia is openly talking about the transhumanist death cult Vladimir Putin is.
Yep.
He wasn't doing that 10 years ago.
Exactly.
So what's crazy is I'm not bragging when I say this. We're not getting orders from Putin. We're giving the orders by openly being ahead of the curve. And I'm not, again, Joe Rogan sounds just like me now because he now knows it's true. He's awake. Tucker Carlson sounds like you. And what I'm saying is we really are moving the culture. We're in the catbird seat. And no matter how much they try to suppress us, it's not working. And it's not, again, it's not about bragging. It's about celebrating our success. All of you that have been supporters, all of you that have been involved, all of you that have spoken out, all of us, we were right. And we're not doing a victory lap, but we're saying to folks, let's say you have a bad captain on a ship. He's already run over 3 reefs. He's going the wrong direction. He almost capsizes the boat. You're trying to get back to whatever the port is. It's 500 miles away. And finally, you're the first mate. You go, look, the captain's crazy. He doesn't know what he's doing. I told you the last 20 things were going to go bad. I'm not going to let him kill us. We're not mutinying here. We're just going to, you know, take him out of command, and we're going to get back to port. And I'll face the judge, you know, when we get there, but you're all witnesses. The captain's a lunatic. We've called it all over and over again, whereas the corporate media is lied to you on purpose. We have a lot of credibility. And I think we need to toot our horn more.
Yeah, I mean, I don't like to pat myself on the back, but when you look at all the videos that we were doing, you look at all the people we confronted, all the secret societies we exposed, all the larger influences of really sinister power that abused it routinely, especially when it comes to Epstein. When the corporate media was promoting it, we were the ones saying, hey, there's this weird guy that's doing horrible things to small children with the protection of the FBI. And they said, you're crazy. You're a crazy conspiracy theorist. That never happened.
That's right.
And I don't have an island.
You're talking about, but you're making good points. People always say, Alex Jones predicted this 15 years ago. We were all talking about it. It was well known. It wasn't some secret. And see, that's the issue. So it's like a doctor that has a great record of healing patients. We're simply saying the globalist doctor will kill your ass. Don't listen to anything they say. We have a track record of being accurate because we're actually researching the source documents.
And the information war is getting more and more intense because the information we're giving to people is actually helping them decide not to be victims of this larger perpetual state of the establishment and this larger kind of demonic satanic order that they all kind of worship and they all work for. So now it truly is make or break because they are, for a very long time, always trying to censor information, always trying to prevent people from talking to each other, always trying to prevent information that people should have the right to hear and discern for themselves. And they are deathly afraid of that. And we're reaching a pinnacle point where their propaganda doesn't matter. Their propaganda doesn't work anymore. They're saying, get the COVID-19 vaccine, go do this, go lock down, go do all this. And there's a huge population saying, no, I'm not going to do
this. And it's getting bigger every day.
When a couple of years ago, let's just be honest with ourselves, if we were back in the early 2000s, a lot of people would have just complied. A lot of people would have just went along with it. But now, truly, they opened up the floodgates. They're trying to close it up. We're in this key pivotal moment where they're trying to shut the doors. And the war's there. The war's on Rumble. The war's on Twitter. The war's with InfoWars. The war's at wearechange.org. We're fighting for you guys. And
by the way, let's elaborate on that. Let's talk about the war. And then I want to go to what's most important before we hit Epstein and some of the incredible exploits you've had exposing going to the island when nobody else ever has done it and so much more. Yeah, folks, he did that. And a lot of you know that, some don't. But then I want to mark this down. We've already told people what was going to happen in the past. I want you and I to both make predictions or prime approximations, dead reckonings on what is about to happen next or what cards are in the globalist hands. So we'll talk some about that coming up. But getting back to the larger issues of Trump right now and where the economy is and where the world is, how would you describe, Luke, the state of the planet right now?
It's in a place where it could go either way. I think we are absolutely in a make or break moment. I think there's a portion of humanity that says enough is enough. I think a lot of people, even though COVID was absolutely horrible, have taken that horrible situation and have awakened to the larger abuses of the state. And they're saying, hey, something's wrong here. Something's not right here. They bought off the doctors. They bought off the politicians. They bought off the corporate media. They're telling us lies. They took away my business. They took away my money. They took away my finances. They took away my freedom. What do I have to show for it? As, of course, grocery prices keep going up and up and up. I do believe there's a larger financial component to it that is trying to, of course, tighten and squeeze the people so they don't have any kind of resources. They don't have any kind of ability to kind of push up against a lot of these larger kind of technocratic bigger battles out there. But it's multifaceted, especially when you want to talk about the future. I think artificial intelligence is going to be the next nuclear bomb. I think it might already be deployed, especially when it comes to the social media.
IRS.
The IRS, of course, is going after a lot of different individuals.
With AI.
Yep, with artificial intelligence, making sure that they're tracking and tracing any payments that you're making, specifically when it comes to firearms, bullets, ammo, preparedness, utilities as well, that people are, of course, making sure that they have within themselves, which they should. You should prepare. You should be ready for anything that could come your way, because we're living in an ever so
unpredictable. Meanwhile, governments and corporations are building bunkers and arming to the teeth.
Yeah, and they're telling you, you're crazy if you're a prepper. You're trying to prep. You're trying to have some storable food. You're trying to, of course, have a little bit of water filtration systems or generators. You're crazy, which, again, I'm in Florida right now. You need that stuff because you never know when a hurricane's going to come. So there's human disasters. There's natural disasters. But I think we're reaching a key point, especially with the war in Ukraine, which is absolutely troubling. As, of course, the United States government literally put down a down payment for the future of war in the Middle East. They put their future of war in Europe, in Asia. We are financing this larger kind of transfer to the military-industrial complex that, to me, is weaponizing information to the point where now news articles are more powerful than bullets. And I think they understand that. And I think we have reached a fifth generational warfare level of fight that a lot of people are kind of canceling themselves and destroying themselves. So on one way, we have a lot of people waking up. We have a lot of people taking care of themselves, exercising.
But the empire is striking back.
And then at the other hand, there's also a large subject of people that are going in the opposite direction as well. And you see this kind of larger polarization within humanity when it used to be like you had your average Joe there. He was middle class. Everything was okay. He was somewhat healthy. But now it's, you're either really unhealthy or you're really fit and you're really paranoid about your health, which you should be since there's a larger kind of chemical biological war out there in order to kind of get rid of your testosterone, your masculinity, your ability as a human being to fight for yourself, stand up for yourself. So we're seeing a bifurcation in society.
Society's splitting apart.
Exactly. And that's what the technocrats have been talking about for a very long time, a society where, of course, you have the haves and the have-nots. And that line is being drawn and pushed further and further in a Brave New World 1984 kind of hellscape that is becoming more reality than it is fiction.
What is the number one way to stop it? I think it's to explain to people that work for the corporate and governmental bureaucracies how they're doing wrong, how they're working for an evil system, and how they are doing okay today, but losing more and more over time, and that they will be destroyed in the process. This system is anti-human at its base.
Exactly. They hate humanity. They hate prosperity. They hate individuals being able to, of course, have a free market, exchange goods with each other without the government coming in there, taxing you, taking away a lot of your resources away from you. The best way to fight back against this, in my opinion, is to be healthy, is to be happy, is to go on nature hikes, is to work out, is to eat right, it's not be poisoned by all the things that they're laying, all the traps all around us, and not falling for those traps, not being a byproduct of the pharma industrial complex, not having to go to the hospital, not needing to be at the doctors all the time, not needing to worry about your weight. And to me, once we really start to figure out ourselves and start to better ourselves physically, mentally, then they lose, because we don't need to be dependent on them. And we're dependent on them in so many easy ways.
Now, you're totally right. And, you know, I myself still hike and lift weights and things with stress and things. I've done things that aren't good for my body, but at least I know, and I'm pulling away from that. And so people out there that feel bad because they've been caught by this, you can change this all incrementally and then daily really move the point on the compass where you're at. So
exactly. Enjoying life, celebrating life, having families, enjoying the beauty of life. They hate that. It's toxic to them, and they're afraid.
That's why they always put out terror alerts and Christmas and Thanksgiving.
Exactly.
So let me ask this, Luke. How do we fight them and expose them? This is a problem I have, but not get so caught up on it that they're dominating everything we do and all our time and our energy. We've got to, like, have the R&R. We've got to realize when we have fun, when we celebrate our families, when we celebrate life, they hate that.
Yeah, I'm doing that this Sunday. I'm organizing a nature hike for all my Twitter subscribers and members of LukeUnfiltered.com. We're doing a nature hike here in Austin. I just did one in Miami, Florida. I'm going to be doing them all over the United States. A great way.
Where are you going to go hike? I might do it with you.
I'm keeping the location off the record just for subscribers and just for members that help contribute and are part of my independent media organization, but it's going to be opened to the people who, of course, are a part of those larger.
So like right beforehand, you're going to send them where it's at.
Exactly. And then we're going to meet people, talk to each other, go out there, touch grass, enjoy nature, enjoy the beauty of life that we have here. Life is short. Life is precious. These people hate life. These people want to destroy life. These people are absolutely, in my opinion,
serving a
larger demonic entity.
And they want us locked up in our houses. They don't want us going out and getting together.
Exactly. They don't want you traveling.
Then they realize how powerful we are.
Once you travel, once you leave the world, and throughout my 20s, I was always traveling, doing on-the-ground reports all over the world, and I realized, America is a beautiful country. It's not a perfect country. The government absolutely needs to be put in check. But when it comes to the people, when it comes to the freedoms that we have here, especially with the First Amendment, especially with the Second Amendment, you don't have that in many places around the world. Once you travel the world, come back to the United States, you really do appreciate it. And this is why they're teaching a lot of these young kids at these universities to hate themselves, to hate America, to hate the beauty of life.
Let me expand on that. That's the paradox of freedom. We were the best house in a bad neighborhood, had the most freedom, had the most rights that weren't given by government, but that we demanded, that God gave us. So because we were freer, we got all the power. Then the parasites come in and take that over. So it is a historical paradox that empires rise and they fall because the parasites come
in. And they're teaching kids this mind virus to not like this country, to not like the founding fathers, to not like the principles. And again, they weren't perfect, sure. But they were an idea that
on average they were pro-human.
Exactly. They were pro-individual liberty, pro-personal responsibility. And once we take that into our own hands, the capabilities of what we're able to accomplish is perpetual. It's amazing. It's incredible. And once we've realized the discovery, traveling, being able to...
And once we do that, we'll escape out of the globalist plan and humanity's unstoppable. And that's why they're trying to dumb us down, poison us, and suppress us, so we stay under their control.
Exactly. And that's why it's more important than ever to realize the true power that you have within yourself. And you start realizing that once you start cutting out all the poisons in your life, once you start cutting off the fluoride, the seed oils, the microplastics, once you try to get rid of all the ways, the astrazine, all the way that they chemically and engineer your body to be weak, pathetic, and not strong. Once you get rid of all that, you start realizing, wow, life is incredible. We also need to understand we can't always take ourselves too seriously. We need satire, we need memes, we need comedy. I've embraced that as much as I can.
And that's
myself.
Why the Australian premier literally said, "I saw people making fun of me today. You'll be arrested." He doesn't realize how pathetic he is.
That's why 15 years ago, the Pentagon was literally releasing documents talking about how we need to weaponize memes, because memes are a crucial Achilles heel to the whole power structure. So memes and
but because they're
humor.
The ones that are involved in the oxymoronic corruption and the contradictory actions, the memes are designed for that. When you're telling the truth, then there's really no meme. But when they're lying, it's easy to show it.
Exactly. And then you're able to make fun of it. You're able to poke fun at them. You're able to show them that the emperor has no clothes. And they're definitely afraid of that. And that's why they go after comedians like Dave Chappelle. They go after individuals in our society like Bill Hicks and George Carlin and all these other major figures that I believe pushed the Overton window open far further than a lot of these politicians or political pundits. So I always have a deep appreciation for the Tim Dillons of the world and the Dave Smiths and all these other individuals who are willing to say, hey, this system's a joke and we're going to laugh about it. And with that laughter comes an incredible power, comes an incredible kind of energy and a release of like, yeah, I don't
know. You're right. I used to do that more and I got too serious. I realized they hate it when we're having fun.
Yeah, I remember you were with Joe Rogan in Austin in the early 2000s with Bush masks. Dancing around the Capitol here and having a
that was before 9/11.
Yeah, before 9/11. Sorry, in the 90s even. You're cracking like a lot of jokes and having a lot of fun, and that inspired me to go out to Skull and Bones with my friend, and we put on masks of Bush and Dick Cheney, and we were like literally dry humping each other outside of there, mocking their kind of rituals and ceremonies, because it is ridiculous to understand the larger power structures. But if you're able to make fun of it, the power structure just collapses. And then people realize, yeah, at the end of the day, my life is determined by me. My future, my destiny, what I am on this earth during my short time here is determined by me and me only. And once you realize that power within yourself, not only are you unstoppable, not only do you have this kind of vigor, this kind of energy, this human spirit that is unstoppable, but it leaves them absolutely incapable of enslaving you and controlling you. And this is why it's more important than ever to grasp that ideology, to understand that if humanity has two different pathways, you get to choose that pathway right now. You could walk down the gates of hell, or you could walk down the gates of liberty, personal responsibility, freedom, and just the biggest, most amazing joys in life, which are working hard for things.
Oh, hold on right there. Luke Murkowski is our guest in studio on Fire. Jay Dyer is coming up. We'll take a little bit of his time and talk to Jay a little bit coming up at the start of the next hour. But Luke, I'm going to throw you a curveball. There are so many things different political parties and movements have done, some good groups, some bad groups, that are successful. And I have seen you in your successful nature hikes that, you know, your subscribers, your supporters, by invitation, you show up somewhere, some cool place, you want a 5-10 mile hike, all hang out, get to know each other. That's so smart. You know what political party basically got its most success off of that?
No.
The Nazi party.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. So that's how they started out in 33 and 34, not just with beer hall parties, but going out and going on a long hike and then coming back and having a big lunch. And then later it grew into like camping out and stuff, yeah. But was getting people out to have fun in a political party. People say, well, don't do what the Nazis did. Well, Nazis breathed air too. That was successful for them. That's a really great idea to get people out in nature, get people, you know, doing things together. That's really smart.
Well, if you're feeling stressed, if you're feeling down, just going for a basic
bathe
walk.
Bathe in nature.
Exactly. Being in this, there's a reason so many movies like Avatar talk about the power of the surroundings, the environment, because it really does matter. And I think that's why there's so many efforts to also poison and destroy
they
nature
want us
and close all the parks
square
away from
foot
you.
Coffin apart.
Exactly. They want you in the pod, and we refuse to do that. Once you start traveling, once you start walking around, you start realizing, hey, your mind starts clearing up, your stress kind of goes away, and you understand, wow, this is a beautiful, inherent kind of natural feeling that's so powerful, that's so incredible, that's so beautiful. There's so many other things in this world that are larger distractions out there. There's entire right-wing kind of communities fighting over calendars on social media, which I find so distracting and so idiotic.
Now, what calendar we should use?
Yeah, yeah. The globalists are moving full speed when it comes to trying to enslave all of humanity and put us on some kind of larger animal farm. And once you get out of that pig pen, once you get out of social media, once you get out of this larger kind of city structure,
well,
that
that's
they want
the whole
you
Q thing. I mean, look, epigenetically, we are designed to be in nature, doing farming, gardening, hunting, knitting, men and women, cooking's fun. All these epigenetic things are therapy. I'm not trying to get in a fight with the Q people, but Hillary's been executed. Everything's fine. Everyone's invincible. Go to sleep. That's people that are newbies that are kind of waking up but can't handle the stress of, no, we're under full attack. What do you say to the Q folks?
I mean, I've been attacked by them for many years now, because I always say, you know, hope is the worst thing you could have, especially when it comes to the government. You shouldn't have any hope in government. You should have hope in your communities, in your families, in yourself. And once you start giving away your power and you start acquiescing to a larger power structure that's shadowy and unaccountable and allegedly is going to be there for you based off promises, you're making a key mistake in life. And you're believing people based off their words, not their actions. And to me, the thing that I have always prophesied is, don't believe me. Do your own homework. Do your own research. We need you to have critical thinking skills. If you don't have critical thinking skills, there's no way we could propel forward, because I really do think, you asked me, what's the next thing? I think so many people have awakened, especially through COVID, especially through the larger psyops that have failed routinely. They try to pull out new stuff every day, and it keeps failing on its face. I think the larger next thing is going to be playing up on a lot of our mistrust of the system. I think that's going to be the next big thing, because if you're one of these kind of sociopathic central controllers, what better way to kind of herd along these animals as they see them than, of course, use their own kind of distrust of the system against them? So I think we really got to be careful about
that. They turn our distrust of the corrupt system in on everything, yeah, and don't trust anybody unless it's this shadowy Q thing. So it's like saying, look, Santa Claus and Q aren't real, but life and death are.
Yes. And then when you look at especially what happened early on in COVID, if you remember, we were getting videos on social media of people falling and collapsing. We were getting government officials saying, don't wear masks. It's totally fine. Don't worry about it. Go to the Chinese Day Parade, or else you're a bigot and hate Asians. They psyoped that whole thing from the very beginning in a way where the people who were most mistrustful of government were saying, wait, hold on, what's really going on here? So they kind of played up on our own.
To get us to scare
thinking.
People for them.
Exactly. And then you saw Tucker Carlson literally go to Donald Trump and say, hey, you should kind of take this seriously, because no one else really is. And therefore, they were able to play people along with that. But truly, getting out there, touching grass, there's so many scientific documents. There's so many studies that have been done, particularly when it comes to people just walking. Walking is amazing. Major health hack. If you're struggling with whatever you're struggling with, get a step counter, start walking. Once you start walking, do it with your loved ones. Your mind starts to free up. You start having conversations that are really amazing, that are really productive.
Oh, I can be a little down or exhausted. Get home at 6 o'clock till exhausted. Because there's a nearby hike and bike trail and place. Boom, we do that. We walk 2-3 miles, sometimes 5 miles, come back. We just feel awesome.
Yeah. And that's what I started to implement in my own life, and the results have been incredible. I feel incredible. I feel on fire. I feel like I have this spirit within me, and I'm not going to let anyone subjugate me. I'm not going to let anyone control
me. My best ideas are when I'm hiking up a big hill, and I hike almost every day, about 5 days a week. I try to do it 7 days a week. But when I've been hiking 3-4 miles, and I go up a big hill, and the blood's pumping, and I'm like having these great ideas.
Yeah. That's where I think of all my like t-shirt ideas, all my meme ideas. And I was hiking, I was there by myself and my dog, and I'm like, this would be great to share with other people. This would be great to kind of ping off ideas and to kind of fester some kind of larger growth here. And I was like, you know, I have people who support me through lukeunfiltered.com and through Twitter memberships, and I'm like, I want these people out there. They support me. They care about me. I want to show that I care about them. I want to promote something. I want people to actively get engaged in something that I could absolutely help them with. And to me, this was just something that spurred on through that nature hike, which we're going to be doing here in Austin this Sunday.
In New Zealand and Australia, they said, don't look at the sunset, don't talk to your neighbors, don't go to the beach. I mean, it was so obvious.
Yeah, they tell you, don't get vitamin D. They're like, don't get any sun, stay inside. They closed the beaches, they closed the parks. And
not getting vitamin D is why the winter's bad.
Exactly. Dr. Simon Gudick came out and then broke through major scientific data, specifically highlighting vitamin D was key towards surviving COVID. And also probably the COVID vaccine.
But even the FDA website admits that.
Exactly. And then Simon Gudick got attacked. He had his whole career ruined by
but think how crazy that is. What a crime to commit. Now, let's talk about Epstein, the time we have left. Because you famously, when it was peaking, went into the island 4 or 5 years ago, whenever it was. You've been all over this.
Yeah.
You're a leading expert on it. We've got some clips. Some of them are long, but you can play whichever one. You've got a shorter version here. Tell folks about
As soon as he allegedly died, I was always curious. I was like, there's no way this story doesn't add up. Bill Barr ran up essentially a larger cover-up operation under the Trump administration. We still don't know exactly what happened with Jeffrey Epstein. So there was an independent journalist that was flying a drone, over Epstein Island. And when he was flying a drone through Epstein Island, there was a photo that he took of an individual that looked exactly like Jeffrey Epstein on the island after he allegedly died.
And let's roll some of the B-roll here, guys, from his reports. Go ahead.
And that's,
so this is you going there.
Yep. And that's when I said, you know what? This is a time where we need to investigate this. We need to see if he is still there. We need to make a journey to that island. We need to see what's on that island. We need to make sure if he's still alive, this is going to be one of the biggest stories out there. It was an incredible risk. I was nervous. I was petrified, but I took the risk because this story, especially when it comes to the thousands, people don't understand here. Thousands of children were taken here and hurt in unspeakable ways by individuals within our own government with the protection of the intelligence agencies. Those children deserve justice.
All right, I want to play the 3-minute, 50-second clip. And where can people go, Luke, to find the full reports, the full you should repost it on your X account, or I'll be happy to re-upload it if you want. We'll probably get 10 million views.
Re-upload it. You have all
right, guys, grab right Luke's up. Original report, the whole thing. Put it up like, again, journalists infiltrate Epstein Island, or Luke, top journalist Luke Radowski, infiltrates Epstein Island. Let's get that up right now. But here's a short clip.
Well, hello from Jeffrey Epstein's island. Walk around the whole island. There's like no one here. Very interesting place. The swimming pool looks like it's in good shape. So oddly, oddly quiet here.
Come on, golf carts. Get the fuck out.
What? Shit.
Hurry up, you guys.
Get your asses on there. Epstein Island. Jeff and Luke.
Holy shit.
I gotta say, though, once you got near the island, well, the water there is beautiful.
This is Radowski of WeAreChange.org here with Jeff Berwick, the dollar vigilante, off yet another crazy, insane adventure, this time to Jeffrey Epstein's private island, Little St. James. And there's a lot of things we're going to have to get into in this video, but I don't even know where to begin. I mean, just even being here, it was difficult finding a boat operator. Jeff, just start it off from here.
Well, we were in the area, and we thought, you know, no one's ever gone on this island. No one, real media, anyone really that I know of has ever gone on. We only get the information from the government and the mainstream media, and those are the two things you can never trust with information. So we're like, well, I guess we have to go and check this out and see if it's even real. For all we know, there might not be anything there. Like, it's always lies what they tell us. And for all we know, there could still be some activity going on there. Maybe Bill Clinton's there. Maybe Jeffrey Epstein's there. No one's looking into this. So we took it upon ourselves to, well, let's do it. But it wasn't easy. Most captains said they wouldn't take us to the island. There's all kinds of, you're in different countries on different islands, so we had to work our way around that, make sure we weren't doing too many illegal things all at once. Just rolling up to the island and actually seeing that temple, which is there, so we have verified that. This is a lot of verification of what is actually there. Yeah. Was pretty surreal.
Yeah, and it was also kind of a little daunting, a little scary kind of going in there because, you know, in some jurisdictions, you could just get shot and killed for going on private property. And this is someone that was extremely powerfully connected to presidents, prime ministers, royalty, and was able to evade law enforcement for some of the worst, most despicable acts in this world. This is a man that literally, when he was finally put to court, was given a slap on the wrist
by someone who was previously working inside of Trump's administration that somehow was connected. Again, the interconnectedness of Jeffrey Epstein is just absolutely mind-boggling. I mean, we're talking about billionaires, leaders, bankers, the most influential people who were on that island, and there was really no one else to verify it. All of I've really seen from independent media is a guy who is anonymous or a girl who is anonymous that is flying drones over the island and just documenting what is there.
You know, what's incredible about Luke Rutkowski is he's confronted, 300, 400, 500 world leaders?
A lot of them, yes.
And I always notice I see your videos viral, like 10 million, 5 million.
They're not even on my channel.
It's not even you posting them. Yeah. So I was like, hey, can we upload this? Yeah, please do. But how do people follow you on X? And you're doing incredible work.
I still have a YouTube channel. It's still barely holding on. They're deleting old videos. That's youtube.com/WeAreChange. We have a deal with Rumble, rumble.com/WeAreChange. We have a podcast that we do there with Clint Russell on The Best Political Show. We have a lot of fun. We just had Jay Dyer on. We had so many incredible people on, Roger Stone. We have really incredible guests.
I want to come on.
Come on. You're more than welcome. Anytime. We'll show you a good time in Miami. We do a lot of tactical training there, too.
I need to come to Miami. Well, Patrick McDavid wants me to come out there, so I should do both of them.
Let's set it up. Let's do a trip. Let's do some meetings. Let's even do a nature hike. We'll do a little private one. We'll do a fun one.
I'll do one with people. Yeah. Hey, I can hike 20 miles. Yeah,
let's do it. It's awesome. It's incredible.
Even with a blown Achilles, I hike up a 5,000-foot peak easy.
Yeah, it's amazing when you challenge yourself,
I get high doing it. The first 30 minutes is hard. Like, I used to be a long-distance swimmer. I'm not super swimmer, but I've swam five miles.
Once you get over that hike, it's incredible how long you just keep going.
Once you hit that point.
It's hypnotic. It's absolutely incredible.
It's hypnotic, yeah. Yeah, once you hit a half mile swimming, then it just goes. It's the same thing with hiking.
Yeah, I love that. That's why I love Miami. I love swimming as well. That's another incredible thing that I can't recommend enough. People go out there, do, touch grass, live life. And
when I lift weights, I try to do like 30 reps and stuff just to lose weight. But I guess my genetic type is just, I just get bigger muscle-wise. It just doesn't go away. Yeah,
whatever it is, as long as you're active, as long as you're
getting active, yeah.
That's what matters in life, and that's when the true kind of vigor of life kind of takes hold of you, and you kind of just follow its path after.
Boom, when I go to Miami, I'm going to do you, Patrick, Matt David, and we're going to do an nature hike.
Let's do it.
You can bring people.
Let's do it. It's going to be incredible.
Something I want to do, and again, it's not about, I'm so famous, I'm so cool, I bet you get mobbed everywhere too. It's that I've been doing this 30 years. You've been doing it 22 years or 21 years. And the average person isn't well-known, which is a great thing to have anonymity. I'm not saying, look, you're not well-known. I wish I was like that. That's a great thing. But one of the good benefits of being really famous is I get to really gauge the public. And, I mean, I don't like Starbucks as this leftist, but I'm with my 16-year-old daughter yesterday. We're visiting the family in the hospital. She goes, I want, whatever the chai tea is or whatever it is. And so we go into a Starbucks, the manager's there, he goes, everything's free. And so we go, I want this banana bread, I want that, and that's what I was going to get, and this. He goes, no, take more stuff. And then all the coffee people, men and women, it was full of people, we're all fans, and then almost everyone in the place, it was packed like lunch, were coming up saying, thanks for what you're doing, we know it's all lies. This is a liberal part of Austin.
Yeah.
I want the globalists to know, sure, I would go places and shake a lot of hands. Nothing like this. It's 10 times the effect. And so the left always writes articles going, Jones claims he's popular, has no proof. So it feels weird to do it, but I want to show them. I'm going to do a production soon where I go to a grocery store, I go to a Starbucks, I go to whatever, and I'm just going to blur their faces and go, you see? And I'm going to have a time code so I'm not like just selectively editing. They are screwed, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been attacked in the last year and a half like 3 times. I used to get attacked every day. So something's changed, Luke.
It definitely does feel like there's some kind of renaissance. There's some kind of larger kind of awakening happening within humanity. And you could feel it within the kind of energy. You could feel it within the kind of ether. You could feel it kind of all around us. And it's incredible. It's something that truly has shown that an idea's time has come.
So you're seeing the same thing. What are you seeing?
I'm seeing a lot of very similar stuff to what you're describing. A lot of amazing individuals coming up, clear-eyed, happy, full of life.
Isn't it funny how they look different? Black, white, Hispanic, they look alive.
Yeah. The people that are, you know, on the internet too much, the people who are consuming the corporate media, if there's even some of them, because I think there's also a gaslighting effort, especially when it comes to setting up what we perceive to be the normal, because what you're seeing online isn't normal. You're seeing what the technocrats want you to see. You're seeing a perception of humanity at its worst, amplified tenfold. And then when you go out there and meet people, talk to people, have an impact in their life, hear them out, listen to them, try to help them. Man, that's such an incredible feeling. And that's why I'm doing more of these hikes, more of these gatherings, more of these meetings to show the corporate media, we're not alone. We're not isolated. You're not just by yourself. You don't think, you're not the crazy person out there. You were right all along.
Exactly. And I love you're not territorializing and everybody should do this.
Exactly. I want you to do it. I want all these people to do it because we have to lead as an example. And if we could lead people towards doing healthy, incredible things and having a positive impact on their life. And even
by
on
the
micro level.
During the first few months of the COVID lockdown, they closed Barton Springs in the spring.
Yep, I remember that. And you came on there and you're like, no, we're going to go into the park.
And the weather report a month later that it did. The creek had dried up. I had people march down a huge gully and some people almost died coming back up because it was like a huge big hike. And someone couldn't handle it.
Yeah.
And it was nothing. I was charging out of there but because I hike all the time. I promise that we would do this. The places will go be very safe. And
I love adventures. We could get lost. I got lost on my Miami hike. It was fun. It was good. It's adventurous. You never know what you're going to get.
Where'd you hike in Miami?
Treetop Park, an incredible park, beautiful park that has just the most incredible trees. It's part swamp, part park, but the trees there are just absolutely phenomenal.
How far did you hike there?
A couple miles.
Oh, it's easy. That's smart.
10,000 steps.
I'm like, we're going to go down in this giant canyon and gully at 100 degree temperatures. And I wasn't thinking. I got to be a little thinking.
Well, people need to be personally responsible for themselves. So they'll learn. Nature.
Gotta call some ambulances and fire trucks. I wasn't thinking. I remember in Barton Springs, I climbed over the fence and jumped in.
Yeah, well, there's so many people doing these things that I remember seeing you doing it, and it was incredible, and it was awesome. There was Orthodox Jewish people that literally came with bolt cutters and were reopening up the children's playgrounds. There's people saying, no, in Florida, the beach is closed. No, we're going to show up to the beach.
And California.
Yep,
this
California
is humanity, man.
Yeah,
they're trying to lock you in your house and train you how to, the TSA, total prisoner train.
Exactly. And they're saying, you're going to die. It's going to be horrible. People are bad out there. That's a form of mind control. That's a form of hypnosis.
To guilt you. Oh, exactly. Be a hero. Stay in your house and die.
Exactly. Save grandma. Make sure you're doing the right thing in order for the greater
and
good.
Don't see grandma so we can kill her.
Yeah. The greater good is communism. The greater good is central control. And again, my family grew up in communism. My family grew up fighting the Nazis, the Soviets. That bigger.
The Poles have had a... What is it about Poland? I read the history of Poland for 1,000 years.
Our geography is kind of messed up because on the west and east, we don't have a lot of land barriers. So it's easy to invade, easy to kind of walk in there. But Poland existed. It didn't exist throughout some time in history as well. The Polish people were an empire as well. And I love my Polish people. I'm Polish born and raised. And I think the Slavic people truly are some of the true last free people on this earth still standing up against a lot of this.
Well, tyranny. Tucker's been over there a bunch. I've been to Europe, but not to Eastern Europe.
Hungary, Croatia.
He says it's amazing.
Lithuania. Yeah, if you're going to visit Europe, don't visit the UK. Don't
Western
visit
Europe is a toilet.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's horrible. Croatia, Lithuania, Poland, Hungary, incredible. Czechoslovakia, incredible countries where you still see.
What's that big sliver right by Serbia and all that they say so good?
Croatia.
Yeah, Croatia.
Yeah, Serbia is beautiful too. Serbia, the people there are incredible there. Croatia was just magical. It's just incredible.
And men are still men and women are women.
Exactly. And then people have families. And then you go to Poland right now, there's very little litter. There's very little crime. There's people gathering, walking, hiking together. It's a beautiful place.
But the new president's trying to end that.
Yeah. The new president isn't a good
former
guy.
Deputy head of the EU.
He's a EU globalist that definitely wants to reintroduce. And this is what's so sad about what's happening to Ukraine and why I've always been trying to push for the kind of larger end of that war, because so many of these Slavic people are just being absolutely obliterated.
Wasn't it funny? Hitler said the Slavs were horrible in killing Western culture, and now the only Western culture left is in the Slavic.
Exactly.
Country.
No, that's absolutely true. You go there, you visit it, and you understand people live a totally different life than they live here. People live a life where they have community, where they actually are able to locally source their food. They're living a life that it's not perfect. There's a little bit of a drinking problem there. We could admit that. But overall, life satisfaction is a lot happier there for a lot of different accounts than it is here in the Western world, where life expectancy is actually going down, fertility rates are going down, and there's a lot of very serious health issues that the American people are dealing with.
Well, you look at a map of Poland, though, it's like zero Islamic attacks everywhere else in Europe, everywhere.
Exactly. No, I love my people. I love my country, and no one will be able to take that away from me. And I think this is why.
Well, I mean, I'm not just sitting there saying how great Eastern Europe is because you're Polish. It's true. It's like they haven't gotten the virus yet. Why do you think it is? They already dealt with the Soviets and the Nazis. They're kind of like,
We were subjugated by far left and the far right. And we understand that both of these kind of political structures aren't the larger solution to our problems. And a lot of people automatically are allergic to it, automatically don't like it. I mean, living under the Soviet bloc wasn't something that people were happy about. It wasn't something that actually provided them any kind of liberty, any kind of freedom. And, my family was a part of rebelling against that. And that spirit still kind of lives within me, as sadly the Western world is becoming more and more communistic, more and more.
And again,
and more
you're honest about it. Russia was out of control and bad, yep. But now the contagion's out of the West.
Exactly. And now they're really trying to just hijack and destroy humanity from within. And they destroy it with our choices, with our acquiescence, with our kind of laziness and our ability to say this is an easy way. But it's not an easy way. It's a way to easily.
Let's talk more about that. Let's do a little bit more time. How do people find you?
YouTube.com/WeareChange is one of them. X at Luke WeareChange.
All right. And you can find us at InfoWarsStore.com. Great products. We need your support. Vitamin Mineral Fusion back in stock. Nitric Boost, so important. InfoWarsStore.com. Dr. Jones Naturals.com with Rocket Rest, incredible sleep aid. Next Level Foundational Energy. The Nano Silver products like Super Blue. They're all there. And that's how you keep us on air. And we need your support. Part of me wants to just, like, prove it to people, and they shut the son of a bitch down and blow up bigger like Tucker Carlson, but I'm not going to give up. I'm going to crawl and claw to the very last minute. But you're going to tune in one day probably soon, folks, and this ain't going to be here. So I'm not kidding. If you don't support us, we're gone, like grandma. But it's okay. 30-year run. I'm going to come back, but I'm serious. This could be your last chance to support us. DrJonesNaturals.com, InfoWarsStore.com. We'll be right back with the fourth hour. A little bit more time with Luke Rakowski and then Jay Dyer. Stay with us. Luke Rakowski is our guest. I've been calling him Radowski for 20 plus years. But
I don't mind.
Well, I know that's your new name. It's your name now. So, Luke, you were getting into the microcosm, which is a big microcosm of Eastern Europe, and how it's been caught between fascism and communism for the last 90 years, and why that seems like you guys have a bigger immune system to it. No one can deny there's a renaissance in Eastern Europe, and Western Europe's committing suicide. Where do you think that's going?
It's not going in any good direction, as, of course, the people there are subjugated. People are getting arrested there for just expressing political opinions. That's a world that I don't want to live in. I don't want to live in a world where you offend someone and then you have police officers break down your door and put you in jail. That's a reality for a lot of people in the United Kingdom. They have to be careful with what they say. And they've done it to so many different individuals. They were testing it. I remember Charlie Veach back in the day criticized the Queen, literally had police officers showing up at his house. So that's a world that isn't a good world that you want to live in. Free speech is essential towards a free society. It propels society. It progresses us forward. And these satanic demons don't want it. They want to stop it. They stamped it out in the European Union, and they're going after any last kind of vessels of liberty and individual thought. Which
I haven't played the
dangerous.
Clips, but the Australian Prime Minister or Premier doesn't realize how ridiculous he looks. He goes, I saw my face today. I can't really do an Australian accent. Crikey, I saw me on this thing today. We're arresting those that did it. You don't criticize me and put clown hair on me, not knowing the Streisand effect it would cause. But imagine, you're a leader. You can't have clown hair put on you.
You can't face criticism, and you want to lead this country? It's bureaucratic, ninny-controlled, little soy effeminate human beings that can't face any kind of legitimate criticism.
I love it when people put exactly. I put photos of myself out. I had my daughter would like, you can do a setting, make it look crazy on her camera, and I put it out. People are like, why are you doing it? Because it's fun to make fun of yourself.
Exactly, because we're loose, we're free. We're not central controlling and any control freaks that
need
to control every
aspect.
He's going to
arrest people for him as a clown. Yeah. Guys, play the audio. Roll it.
That he is so out of touch. Media platforms have a responsibility to make sure that misinformation isn't got out there. I noticed today, for example, on the way up here, they've removed
various sites that were up containing fake images of myself superimposed on other people. That's the sort of thing that is going on social media. Social media has a responsibility to do the right thing here.
Now, this bloke thinks he's above the Australian law, that he's above common decency. And I tell you what, I say to Elon Musk that he is so out of touch.
And they go on to say they're him and the senators, they're going to arrest him. And I love how the memers, no one edited his audio. They just made him Hitler or made him a clown. You're a public figure, dumbass, and you're calling for Elon Musk arrest. So why do you not think this is going to happen?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. And we need more of these memes. We need more of this humor. We need to laugh at these people more because, again, it strips them away of any kind of legitimacy, and they don't have any. And they demonstrate it every single day. The true testament of a leader is someone who's willing to stand in the fire, someone who's willing to, of course, stand criticism and face it face on and address some of their follies and some of their insecurities and some of their problems. These people don't have any of that. They're a lot of them go to these private islands. A lot of them do awful things with small children. A lot of them have a lot to lose because they're really just absolutely horrible, awful human beings.
That's why they're so compromised, because it's just like the Mexican mafia or whoever makes you go kill an innocent person. Remember, the globalists make you do horrible.
Yeah, they drug them up and they put them in the back room and they videotape them doing horrible, awful things, a part of this kind of ritual that a lot of these celebrities, a lot of these politicians
are part of. Yeah, they know they're part of it,
Exactly. A lot of them participate. A lot of them willingly go in there. They don't even need to be drugged. They go into those parties where they are taken advantage of, and the videotapes. I mean, there's videotapes upon videotapes that the intel agencies have. And
talk about Epstein when we come back. They said at Zorro Ranch it was the size of a house.
Yep, and the FBI never went after it. Never even.
And it's our so-called leaders like want to go to ranches and rape kids. Like, I want to go hike up a mountain with you.
I know. I want to enjoy humanity.
I want to eat a big plate of enchiladas.
These people want to destroy humanity. They want to take the innocence away from children.
They do. Well, the mighty Luke Rutkowski's with us, and the incredible, indomitable, dauntless, best-selling author and researcher. Jay Dyer takes over here in a few minutes, but I interrupted through excitement a lot, which is the old Alex Jones trait I've gotten better over in the last few years. Luke, 5 minutes here with anything else you want to add, and then we're going to say hi to Jay Dyer and let him take over. But you've got the floor for anything else you want to hit folks with a major broadside, Luke, because a powerful Jedi you have become. I've known you 20-plus years. You were always doing a great job, but I'm so proud of you, man.
Well, you led the path, man. If it wasn't for you, there wouldn't be a lot of independent media out there. There wouldn't be so many other individuals willing to question things or ask questions and to stand up for themselves and say, hey, what's going on here is not right. And once we deal with that kind of larger, just even that larger kind of little question within ourselves, once we start just to say, hey, this is not how life is supposed to be. This is not okay here. What's happening to everyone all around us with how they're being subjugated, with how they're being destroyed, with how they're being incentivized to make all these horrible, poor decisions for themselves. We really, right now, more than ever, need a reality check. You need to understand first the situation is not all right. And once you understand that it's not all right, you start to figure out, okay, what are we going to do here? How are we going to fix this? What are the moves that we're going to be making right now that's going to make the biggest difference in my own individual life to make sure that I am the best, healthiest, most amazing, strongest version of myself? And then once you start working on that, once you start fixing that, once you start absolutely addressing all of that in your own personal life and you clear it out for yourself, then... And only then I think you could try to be an example for other people. A lot of people online like to tell other people how to live their lives. They like to criticize them. They like to, of course, point fingers. But in reality, the biggest finger that you should be pointing is the one at yourself and questioning and thinking about all the small decisions and actions that you make. As, of course, in this country, I think we're long past a situation where voting is as imperative as a lot of people make it out to be. As, of course, voting with your choices, voting with what you click on, what you support, voting with your dollar. I think it's way more important than just cast in that ballot every 4 years. Every 4 years, people think I'm just going to put in this little recommendation box, my suggestion here, and then that things are going to get better. Things are going to get fixed. They're not, folks. The way that they get fixed is through personal responsibility, taking action, getting out there, and living a life that is worth exemplifying to other human beings. And that's why I created, you know, wearechange.org. That's why I've been doing this for so long, based on that kind of ideology that things are not all right, but that doesn't mean we don't have to be all right. That doesn't mean we don't have to take particular actions in our lives to lead us down a pathway that leads to us living life to the fullest. And again, life is short. The one thing that I've always realized, especially growing up in New York City, is how just easily it could be taken away from you, just how easily a life could be made miserable, just how easily at any moment, at any time, you don't know what could happen. You get hit by a car. There could be some kind of mRNA globalist larger gene therapy that's injected to your loved one that has a spike protein that sheds onto you. You never know what could happen at any point. You could be drinking a sip of water with astrazine in it, and then you start questioning. There's so many things that could lead to our peril, and that's why more than ever, I think it's important to take hold of your life, take hold of you yourself as an individual, and understand that the true power that you have in this life, in this existence, is really in your own hands, really in your own kind of fingers. And once you grasp that, once you understand it, life becomes amazing. Life becomes incredible. And you start leading down a pathway and other people start following. And that's why seeing what Alex Jones was doing since I was a teenager, I remember Alex specifically being on torrent websites, waiting 3 days to download a movie. And it was I think it was even before 9/11 Road to Tyranny. There was another one, I think, before that you released that was just absolutely captivating. I remember
America Destroyed by Design, Bohemian Grove.
Yeah, America Destroyed by Design. And then I remember, you know, some of my friends were literally setting up torrents of fake movies, Hollywood movies that were out, of your movies out there. So people were thinking that they were downloading all these Hollywood
movies. It's the activists and the listeners that get all the credit.
Exactly.
We're all a giant family. And I want to be 100% clear here. You've been on your battle, your crusade, your quest for 20 plus years. I've been on mine 30, and you're still look incredibly young and doing a great job. We're still here. And the fact that we've survived and haven't given up and that liberty's so popular, that's how the universe works. As the darkness rises, the light rises. And so this is an epic time to be alive. People can't get down about this, because I know sometimes I start getting down and I think about the great success we've had, that God is in control, that God is real.
You inspired me 20 plus years ago, and I want to inspire other people.
Yes.
That's why we did Change Media University. That's why we literally have programs trying to teach people how to do this. And we need more people to get active, more people to get engaged. And this kind of censorship that's happening on big tech social media, it's not just affecting us. It's affecting a lot of people who are coming up in this industry that are being kneecapped, that are being destroyed. And that, to me, is the most kind of insidious censorship, because there are other Alex Joneses and Luke Radowskis out there, and Mark Dices and Gary Franchi's, and all these other incredible individuals that are making their way up that are being destroyed by big tech social media.
And in closing, before we hand the baton to Jay Dyer, who's loaded for bear, obviously Elon's not perfect, but in you judge a tree by its fruits, he's devastating the globalist and turning more towards us every day. Imagine they thought, get Alex Jones, get Tucker Carlson, get Joe Rogan. Now they've got Elon Musk to deal with. But as important as he is, there's these millions of other activists and billions of awake people, and more are appearing every day. And all the big audiences are talking about freedom now. All the old audiences are imploding. I mean, we are running the tables, brother.
Yeah, it's incredible. I was one of Elon's earlier followers. He kind of unfollowed me recently. I don't know why, but still, with the opportunity that he's providing us,
involved in his stuff.
The opportunity that he is providing us is absolutely incredible. And if you're not taking advantage of it, that is fleeting. That could go away at any moment, at any time. So definitely follow Alex on
Twitter. By the way, I've got your number, but I do want to go on the nature hike, so I do want to come. So can you give me the ballpark when it is?
1 p.m. local time here in Austin this Sunday.
Okay, so you're going to tell me when we get off
air. Yep, of course.
Okay. Yes. I'm on air at 4 o'clock, but yep. I may do a I want to go to this.
Yeah. I'm going to tell all my members of LukeUnfiltered.com and all my Twitter subscribers where it is the day before. And
I'm going.
All right, awesome. That's going to be incredible.
If you want to pick me up at your hotel, or you got a rent car?
Yeah, let's do it. Yeah, pick me up, sure.
Let's do it. All right, I'm excited. If, look, I'm really proud of you. I love you, man. And we've had our ups and downs over the years.
We fought pretty extensively. It was pretty intense, but we're that kind of character. It's okay. Like, it happens, you know.
It's been one hell, but as you get older, and you're not 50 yet, how old are you?
37.
Wow. You look great, but I mean, not so much because I'm in the wars even more probably. But the point is that nostalgia is everything as you get older.
Exactly.
And people you've known for, like, all the adventures we've had.
Exactly.
I mean, we've got to sometime, we're not old men, at least you not yet. We got to sometime do a whole show. We write notes about
all
the
Bilderberg group meetings that we were at and all the crazy adventures that we had. There's a lot. Max Kaiser. I was there with Max Kaiser.
Yes,
I was there.
Like, you don't make crazy. This stuff up, folks.
And that's like one of the least craziest moments we had. And there's a lot of crazy moments that we had that you do look back and you're like, wow. And you do see someone in an extended period of time. You do really truly see who they are, the fruits that they bear.
The stories are so insane. I'm at Bilderberg in Canada like 18 years ago. And Jim Tucker, the first, was the guy exposing it. I'm interviewing him in a hotel room. He says like a heart attack or something. Passes out, gets up and says, I'm okay. I can feel his pulse. It was like 200 beats.
Wow.
And still does the interview.
And then probably lights up a cigarette.
It lit up a pell-mell. Yep. The point is, how much more fun is it to be engaged in fighting tyranny than just watching CNN?
Exactly.
I mean, this is exciting.
Yes. And taking part, taking action is incredible. You can do it in a small way. Go for a hike. That's all you have to do.
I'm going.
It's
going to
be incredible.
All right, introduce your buddy, Jay Dyer, who we took time from away again. He's so gracious. Jay Dyer of jaysanalysis.com, best-selling author Jay Dyer. Jay, what do you got coming up today?
Well, what was on my heart today was to talk about what Luke and I were talking about actually a couple days ago on his channel on Rumble. We did a two-hour podcast where we got into spirituality, we got into the demonic, we got into the dark side of what the establishment serves, what they worship, what they push, and then I wanted to contrast that with authentic spirituality, what it means to live according to, you know, God's commandments and so forth. So that's what I was hoping to get to today.
Well, you've been sitting there listening to us babble. Any closing comments before you take over?
No, I just had a great time with Luke. Everybody should check out his Rumble channel. It was a great interview. We got pretty deep. We went from news to straight up like demonic acid trips. So we went
Let me ask you this in 60 seconds. If Satan had full control, where would he take us? Would he use us as slaves because we're so creative, or would he kill everybody?
I think the ultimate end of the rabbit hole, like you pointed out, is killing humanity. So because man's made the image of God, there's a sort of an innate hatred for mankind. I think in Christianity, you know, because God took on human nature in the incarnation, that caused a real envy between the fallen spiritual forces and humanity. So they really seek to destroy mankind because they feel like that's subverting God's plan.
Exactly. Satan tries to deceive and go against free will, but God actually chose through free will to possess humanity if we choose it. That pisses Satan off because God created the angels to serve him, not to have free will, which is Satan's original thing. I want free will. I'm going against you. Why'd you just give them free will?
Yeah, the temptation in Eden was to become like God, not through the means that God had. So God always had the intention to raise men up to higher and higher levels of being like him. We call that in Orthodoxy theosis. That's not the same thing as apotheosis, like Crowley or the Satanists believe. But the temptation was to do this through the shortcut, through your own will, through your own way. And that's what leads to all of the chaos, the death, the destruction. And so there's a spiritual force behind this. And as we were talking about on Luke's podcast a couple of days ago, the best explanation for what's going on in the world seems to be more than just human manipulation and deception. It seems like there's actually a spiritual reality behind this. That's a better explanation for everything going on than what we typically see.
Oh, absolutely. You can feel it. Jay, I think you're one of the smartest, most intelligent people in our movement. So thank you so much for providing all this data. Sorry, Alex, go ahead.
No, go ahead. I want to get you both up as soon as you can do it, both of you. Let's do a Saturday show's explode because nobody's doing media then. So that, you know, there's less audience, but less, you know, less media. So it's always big, 5 million probably, just on our system, and a few more million on X. We should do a Saturday 3-hour deep dive of the nature of good and evil soon. commercial free. You can both be remote or you can fly in. Let's do it.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm there.
All right, Luke, I'm going to your nature event. Jay Dyer, take over.
All right, so today I just want to do a brief presentation with the minutes that we have left here about who is man, what's man's place in the universe, where are we going, where do we find meaning, what is our purpose? And I think the best sense that we get of this purpose, of this meaning, comes from the Bible, from Orthodox Christianity. So I'm just going to talk about the basics here, not anything too wild. If we think about two contrasting worldviews, the worldview where there's no meaning, the universe is chaotic, there's just a random smashing of molecules and atoms together that doesn't have any direction or any purpose, that kind of a universe is ultimately, in philosophical terminology, nihilistic, meaning that it's purposeless, it has no intention, it's just chaos. And so in that kind of a universe, people who are tempted with that attitude, they see, you know, things like death and destruction, and they want to sort of capitulate to the idea that man has no meaning and no purpose. And so nihilism really, I think, is the first step towards despair, towards thinking that there's no right and wrong, there's no good and evil. But if we reorient ourselves and open ourselves up to the possibility that there is a God, that there is meaning, that there is purpose, and that there are principles exterior to man that man doesn't create or cause to be. Now, man has a role in the universe. He's a kind of a priest, we would say, underneath God, where he can do certain things in the world, but he doesn't ultimately make meaning. He finds meaning in God's meaning, in something outside of himself, something more than himself. And that's really the only way that we can find meaning and purpose and morals, is by looking beyond just our own inner worship, our own inner selves, which we're always tempted to do. So if we go back to the Garden of Eden, that kind of archetypal story that we have in Genesis, as we were just talking with Alex, the temptation in part there on the part of the serpent, as we said, and I don't think it's a snake, it's a kind of an angelic being presented in the form of a serpent or something like a fallen angel that appears in that form. And so it's not a literal snake. That temptation is that man could become God or like God in his own way, in his own shortcut way, by bypassing the things that God had already created, which were good. So in other words, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil wasn't in itself evil. The tree of of life was also there in the garden. And in our view, man needed to sort of train himself in virtue. He needed to pass a test of virtue before he was ready to partake of both trees. So we actually think that there's nothing inherently evil about the other tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but that you needed to be grounded in virtue first before you had that knowledge. Satan tempted man with bypassing the attaining of virtue and going straight for a kind of gnosis, a kind of direct, intuitive, I don't need God, I'll do it my own way. And that's actually the temptation that he gives, is you will be like God. You will determine good and evil. You will determine true and false on your own. You'll be your own kind of little God without God. And that's because, in our views, there had already been a fall amongst the angelic beings. So Satan had already given into that temptation, as well as the angels that fell with him. And so he's now tempting man with the same temptation that he gave into. And so he wanted to be like God. We read about this in Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28, where there's this desire to be like Jehovah, like the Lord. And he wanted then to destroy man, because in our view, there was always going to be the theophanic manifestation of God in human nature, that man was always going to, that Christ was always going to take on human nature, even if there had not been a fall. So this is what enraged in part the angels that fell with Satan, that became demons. And so ever since then, they've kind of set up this worship in defiance of the true God by making themselves the angelic rulers or the gods of the nations. So the demons that duped mankind throughout the world in the ancient world to sort of promote what we would say is universal idolatry. This is what Paul talks about in Romans chapter 1, that all the world really fell into this demonic delusion, except for a remnant throughout history, except for a group of people. So it began in the Garden of Eden with, in our view, God does save Adam and Eve even after they fell, but they're still going to have to go through the gateway of death before an eventual resurrection. So even though there is still salvation for Adam and Eve, they still had to experience physical death, and they couldn't immediately go back to paradise or Eden or the presence of God. So all throughout history, you have this this manifestation of the nations, the world empires, whether it's Egypt or Babylon or whoever, they're really under subservience to this fallen entity that's constantly trying to erect a spiritual kingdom, a world power. And it's not, when I say spiritual, I don't mean anti-physical or anti-historical. It's a spiritual reality that manifests in history. And so these entities, these powers, they really promote, for example, things like human sacrifice in a lot of these cultures. And as we go through the Old Testament, we read about the Israelites being constantly tempted with that same type of human sacrifice, almost, you could say, sex rites that pop up all the time. And it's not that sex is bad, but it has a purpose. And so in the demonic plan, the intention is to always subvert that, because it's one of the easiest ways to subvert humanity through sort of our fundamental desires, you know, what Maslow eventually calls, right, our hierarchy of needs. And the demonic idea is that man could be controlled through these passions. And by passions, I don't mean like passionate love when your aunt is reading her Harlequin romance novels. I'm talking about the desires that we have. Desires of the body, desires of the heart, any kind of desires really can be co-opted to where we become addicted to or attached to certain vices. And so part of the purpose of the law is to help curb the vices. But what we find is that that's not enough. Man needs more than just rules and lists of things that help him to curb vices. You know, we have the Ten Commandments, sure. And man has free will, but what is unique to Christianity is this notion of grace, that we also need a kind of divine power that enables us to fulfill those commands and to be healed from the things that occurred when we all fell in Adam, so to speak. So we all experience the effects of Adam's fall, which is death and the passions that we are tempted with, or in the West, this is sometimes called concupiscence. It's the same idea. So we need to be healed from that. But in the biblical narrative, even in the Old Testament, there's always a demonic connection to this notion of the passions and the desires. And I'm not saying that everybody who sins, we all sin, but there's something inherently demonic about sin. It's always a turning towards ourselves, a worshiping of ourselves and our own desires, and not keeping with God's law or the Ten Commandments, so forth and so on. So what's the purpose there? If you look at things like the extremes, when Israel falls into really extreme temptations and failures, like in the book of Numbers, we read about the temptation at Baal Peor, which means Lord of open holes. And I don't mean to be gross and graphic, but this is akin to something like ancient sex rites. And this involves everything you could think of, everything degraded and perverse. And so this is a very memorable event in the history of Israel, where they're tempted with this, and it has to be curbed immediately, or else you would have kind of had the destruction of Israel, which their purpose is to bring about the Messiah. So there's always this falling away throughout the Old Testament, and then you have the prophets come and they preach, and then there's a restoration to some form of purity in the worship of God under King Josiah, for example. There's many examples of this throughout. David, of course, was a righteous king. And then Israel would fall back into that temptation to worship ultimately what amounts to demonic powers. So we read about this like in the book of Ezekiel or in the book of Jeremiah, where Jeremiah talks about the temptation that the Israelites had to want to sacrifice their children. So what we're realizing is that when we see things like the temptations today that people are falling into with a lot of the trans agenda, or the idea that you can mutilate yourself right through the changing of your biology, these are it's nothing new. The world and people have experienced this for millennia, But to have it pushed on such a large scale, I think, is something new. And that speaks to something more than just human ingenuity, human cunning, human psychopathy, and the global elites. They play obviously a key role in that, entities like Tavistock that has pushed that agenda for many years. But it seems like there's something even more nefarious going on with a dark spiritual reality, which we'll talk about when we come back. Welcome back to the fourth hour of the Alex Jones Show. Today we're talking about what's at the very bottom of the rabbit hole. What's the deepest, darkest secret? And then what's the good news? Because it's not all bad news. It's not all trauma. There's good news, which is that there is a way out of this, and that ultimately good will prevail. And evil doesn't have the ultimate say-so. Evil isn't sovereign. Evil is really something predatory. It's something that preys on the good and what exists. And it's always seeking to subvert the natural, the pure, and what is the case, and turn it into something aberrant. And aberrations and perversions, they always kind of fade away eventually, right? Because they don't have the ability to cause life or cause creativity. They always end up kind of ending themselves. And that's the good news when it comes to evil. And we were talking about these examples in the Old Testament where Israel was tempted with, the perversion at Baal Peor. Israel was tempted with sacrificing their children in the book of Jeremiah. And then we have these prophecies, these promises of a coming Savior all throughout the Old Testament, all these texts, all the way up to the minor prophets, predicting that there will be one that comes out of, Bethlehem of Judea, that is of the lineage of David, that is he's the culmination of the covenant. He is the fulfillment of the temple and the animal sacrifices and all those things that pointed to him, the Passover. He's the Pascha, we would say, in the Orthodox Church. So who is this person? Well, we would say it's the second person of the Godhead, the eternal Son of the Father, Jesus Christ, who in John 1, for example, is said to be with God. He is God. He's the eternal creator through whom all things came to be. So the Father has an eternal Son. He's that angel of the Lord that we see all the way throughout the Old Testament. If you've read the Bible, if you've read the Torah and the Psalms and the prophets, you know that there's this messenger of the covenant, this angel messenger that constantly appears. The word angel, of course, can mean different things. It can mean just a messenger. It could be a human messenger, or it could be a divine messenger. And we would say that this is that chariot rider that we read about in Ezekiel 1 through 10. This is that being that appears in the fiery furnace with Daniel and his companions. This is the angel of the Lord that appears and speaks to Samson's parents in the book of Judges, that appears to even Hagar in the early chapters of Genesis, who appears to Abraham, who's also the one walking with Adam and Eve. And one way we know that that's who that is, if you believe the New Testament, is that Jesus has a dialogue with the Pharisees in John 5 through 9, and he says that no one sees the Father at any time. And so the Pharisees are kind of, oh yeah, that's true. You can't see God, the Father, so to speak. So who was speaking with and talking to Jesus on the mountain, with Moses on Mount Sinai? Who was it that appeared and had a meal with Abraham? Who was it that was making all these appearances, this voice of the Lord, this form of God's glory, according to Ezekiel, that keeps appearing and manifesting, who's given the name and the title Yahweh? And in many of those passages, by the way, it also speaks of God's Spirit being upon the coming upon the judges, and God's Spirit being given by the laying on of hands of Moses to the Israelites. So in other words, God the Father, Yahweh, his Son, in whom is his name, if you read Exodus 3 and 23, is this angel. That's Jesus. That's the second person that manifested throughout all of these Old Testament texts, who was kind of there all along, leading and guiding the nation of Israel, and then manifests in the New Testament as a fulfillment of all those promises, not just to be an earthly ruler or king, but to actually save humanity from himself and from his worship of the fallen angelic entities, the demons, the gods of the nations, which David says in the Psalms, the gods of the nations are devils, right? The Song of Moses says that the nations worship the devils, we worship the true God. But there was all these prophecies throughout all of the texts of the Psalms, Isaiah many, many times over, about how there would be an eventual point where the covenant would be opened up to the Gentiles. The Gentiles will be invited in to join in the same covenantal relationship that the Jews had to worship the one true God. And for us, that is exactly what we have in the establishment of the church in the book of Acts, in Acts 2, and in the person of Christ when he became incarnate. So that church opens up this pathway, this covenant, this relationship beyond just, you know, manipulation of matter or something like that. A lot of pagan religion, for example, has the idea that you can get God to do what you want if you offer up enough sacrifices or if you do this or that. And this is really an erroneous pagan idea. It's another way of subverting what God's will is for us, imposing our own will and saying, I want it this way. I'm going to make the gods do what I want. I'm going to make Zeus do what I want by doing this or that. You can't really get God to do those things, right? God, you have to have your will aligned with God. And that's called synergy in our view. So you synergize your will with the divine will, which is, of course, things like the Ten Commandments. And we would say Jesus, when he came and he taught, he didn't teach anything different than the Ten Commandments. We would say he's the one that gave the Ten Commandments. Because as he says in John 5 through 9, he was the one at Mount Sinai talking to Moses. He was the one giving the law. And this really enrages the Pharisees. And we would say that this is, you know, a very controversial doctrine, the doctrine of the Trinity. But it's actually an Old Testament teaching. It's actually a doctrine in the Torah and in the prophets and in the Psalms. So it's not anything foreign to the Bible, which Muslims often think, for example, or Jehovah's Witnesses, these kinds of groups. It's actually something that comes from the Bible. But all of these prophecies are leading up to this kingdom that Christ would establish. We would say, I believe that's the Orthodox Church. So how would we know this, though? What are the things that point to this being the case, this being the reality that is out there, that's what reality is really about, is this spiritual stuff that I'm talking about? I would say that if you think about the impossibility, for example, of the atheist or the materialist worldview, by materialism, I don't mean the accumulation of material objects, but the idea that only matter exists, right? A lot of the atheists, a lot of the Dawkinses, the Daniel Dennett's, the Hitchens, these kind of atheists, Sam Harris, these kinds of philosophers and thinkers, they believe that all that exists is just pure random chaotic matter. If that's the case, then that leads to certain conclusions about reality. For example, we don't actually have free will. We don't actually make choices. And many of those philosophers are actually pretty consistent with that. If you think about, for example, Sam Harris says, yeah, there is no free will, and that we think we're learning things is an illusion. We're not really learning truths and discovering things. We think we are, but we're just really a determined chemical process doing that. We're under the delusion that we've made these discoveries and choices. Of course, if he was to really apply that to his own life, then he wouldn't be able to say that he wrote his books. He's not actually arguing for anything that he discovered because there aren't really any discoveries. There's no true versus false. There's only determined chemical process. So in other words, this is called the determinist fallacy or the naturalist fallacy. This would undermine the possibility of having knowledge at all if the materialist worldview were the case. You also couldn't get morals from this worldview. There was a famous atheist philosopher named David Hume in the Enlightenment, and he raised this question. It's called the is-ought dilemma. And he pointed out that, hey, we atheists, we got to be more consistent. We're calling out these religious believers. But look, we don't have a basis for right and wrong. The fact that reality is just matter in motion, it doesn't tell you that it should be some other way. And since there's nothing about molecules themselves that tell you that they ought to be in some other configuration, if all that exists is molecules in motion, there's no basis for saying that they ought to be some other way. Therefore, you can't derive an ought, a moral obligation, something right or something wrong, from what is the case, from just a bunch of molecules. And so if you try to do that as an atheist materialist, you will always end up in a position that is arbitrary, that is purely subjective, and has no real basis in actual reality or in fact. You can't justify or give an account for why it would be wrong to do anything, to murder, to rape, to steal, to whatever. And so these are some examples of what philosophy does, where it says, let's analyze these positions and see if it actually makes any sense to believe that all of reality is pure matter. This is the Alex Jones Show. I'm your guest host, Jay Dyer, Jay's Analysis. We are talking about spirituality and philosophy. When we come back, we'll get even deeper. Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm your guest host, Jay Dyer of Jay's Analysis. We're talking about spirituality. We're talking about dimensions. We're talking about portals and the realm that exists all around us, that next dimension up, so to speak. I think there's dimensions below us too, darker dimensions. And the choices that we make in life, we can kind of tap into those various dimensions. We were just talking about the limitations, for example, of the materialist atheist worldview, how they really box themselves into positions that can't make sense of morals. There's not really a basis to say something's right and wrong. I understand that most atheists would say they believe this or that is right or wrong, but there's not really a basis that's consistent to do that if all that exists is just pure matter and motion. And so these are kind of indicators. These are flaws in the philosophy of atheism that we can identify that help us to figure out, well, this doesn't really seem to be like a workable worldview. This doesn't make a lot of sense. And it doesn't seem to give much of an account of reality. I mean, life seems to have meaning. Life seems to have purpose. Trees, plants, things kind of grow from seeds into a full-blown thing. There seems to be kind of a purpose there, not random chaos. And so there is design. There is telos or purpose in the world. There is intentionality. And if there's an intentionality at a small level, if we have meaning at a small human level, stands to reason that there's probably meaning at a grand level, at a universal level. And I don't think it's a leap to think that. In fact, it's a necessary thing to have meaning and purpose for knowledge at all. And so this is what's sometimes called a transcendental argument for God, this idea that the transcendent is necessary to undergird the world that we know, to have morals in this world, to have knowledge in this world. It requires kind of basics that are more than just matter. Things like numbers, things like laws of logic, things like language, those are not physical things. You can't look under a microscope and find a law of logic. Yet every sentence that a human being makes, every word they speak, requires and necessitates some kind of logos. So some kind of meaning, some kind of principle. That's more than just molecules that gives this or that collection of molecules meaning, gives it structure, gives it order. Now, not everything in reality or life is necessarily structured and ordered. Some things are kind of chaotic, at least from the human vantage point. But that doesn't mean in the divine mind or in the divine vantage point, ultimately everything isn't ordered and structured. So even evil things can have a long-term big scale purpose, even if we in our finite human minds don't understand them. This is sort of the point of the book of Job, right? Job is struggling with the existence of evil, the problem of evil. Many atheists, many unbelievers, they have a problem with this. And they should read the book of Job because the book of Job is really addressing that struggle, which we all have at some point and in some degree. Even if you believe, we oftentimes wonder, why is this happening? One of the answers that's given towards the end of the book is that man can't ultimately understand all of the infinite variations of creation, all of the different timelines and potentialities that get chosen. And so how could man understand the big picture, being that he can't even understand minute things? So in other words, it's almost like an impossible question, and there's no worldview that can answer that question. So it's not even really a legitimate, I mean, it's something you can ask the question, but the question is almost kind of an unanswerable question, so to speak. Like, how do we know that this or that event won't bring about some greater good down the road? So the problem of evil is really a pseudo problem, because to say that there's evil requires some notion of the good. You couldn't say that the Christian God is evil or that Christianity is bad if you didn't have some criteria, some structure by which you're saying or judging things, a value judgment, we call it. If you didn't have a standard to make value judgments, you couldn't say anything was good or bad. So the question then gets flipped. Well, what's the basis for good and bad? What's the basis for saying the true versus the false, the good versus the evil? You see, those are automatically philosophical concepts. So we're going to have a worldview that makes sense of true and false, good and evil. And I would argue that ultimately only the Christian perspective really makes sense of those things. That's not to say that Muslims or whoever, that they don't believe in good and evil. But I'm saying that in the final analysis, the best perspective, the most philosophically coherent perspective is, I think, the Christian perspective. Because we have not just an account for good and evil, but also things like logic, the true versus the false, the good versus the bad. We have an ability and a basis to make judgment calls, to say why it's, you know, wrong to murder, why it's wrong to do these things, right? I mean, take, for example, the Ten Commandments. I mean, the Ten Commandments are a pretty good structure to have for a functioning society. So even if you didn't believe in God, I mean, it seems like that's a pretty good basic moral code to have for a society. And that kind of suggests that maybe this moral code does come from some kind of living God or some kind of being that we can have a relationship with. But I think there's a great insight here in regard to this principle of logos, right? Which if you go back to the ancient philosophers or even in the book of Proverbs, there's this idea of wisdom, wisdom personified, particularly as you get up into like Proverbs 7 and 8, right? Wisdom is personified as a woman. Wisdom is personified as having structured the universe. That's why we find patterns in nature. There's a book that Orthodox and Catholics accept that has a statement about how everything in the created order is made via number. And that Deuterocanonical text is describing that everything really is principle, has this principle of numeric pattern and geometry in it, which bears the stamp of an intentional creator. And so we see this, for example, in the Fibonacci sequence in nature. We see it in things like Mandelbrot sets, which appear in nature, in the natural world. These are really high mathematical concepts, which we know if you look into Mandelbrot sets. For example, there's a great lecture that a physicist named Dr. Jason Lyle did on Mandelbrot sets. Those can't be human inventions. For a long time, people might have thought, well, mathematics, that's something that humans made up. It's a social convention. It's a social construct that we use. No, actually, as many mathematicians have pointed out, these are discoveries. And if they're a discovery, they're not something that's a human creation. Humans can create symbols that represent those mathematical principles, but the mathematical principles themselves are discovered and not caused or created by a finite human mind. And the best example of this is Mandelbrot sets, which we couldn't even see or know in terms of the specification of magnetism until computers were invented to actually demonstrate this. So we had to get to a certain point in the processing power of computers to be able to zoom in, you know, infinite depth, so to speak, I mean, in a limited sense of infinite depth, to see the repeating structures and patterns in Mandelbrot sets. And what this shows us is that this mathematical principle was something discovered, not invented by human beings. And it's also a principle that's not just found in, you know, set theory and in computers, but actually in the world. The natural structure of, for example, forests, of coastlines and so forth, they actually display the principles of Mandelbrot set. So these are discoveries that are made, very high-level mathematic discoveries. Well, what is the point of all this? What does this actually tell us? Well, if you go watch Dr. Jason Lyle's presentations on Mandelbrot sets on YouTube, you'll notice that this shows us that there's actually mathematical principles that underlie all of nature and reality. Therefore, purpose, meaning, structure, geometry, even things that Plato and the Timaeus talked about, Socrates talked about, this geometric structure that we find at a fundamental level in nature, it's not because of the human mind causing it to be there. It's not a social construct. It's a discovery. And that tells us that reality itself is structured. It does have a mathematical structure. And it has telos and it has purpose. And that's just one of the elements that I'm getting at with this idea of logos that we find in John 1. And John 1 is referencing the text, the wisdom text that we find in Proverbs, like Proverbs 7, Proverbs 8, and other places in the Deuterocanonical text, where everything is created via number and structure. That tells us there's a divine mind, that the divine mind is the ground of all of reality that we see. And thus, the world is created. So we should get to know the creator. So I want to remind you guys, too, that we will be in Las Vegas June 22nd. It's going to be a great six-hour presentation. I'm going to go deep into the history of espionage, the history of the dark forces like we talked about today, the history of blackmail, the history of spying, how that all relates to the world that we live in now. That's my talk. Jamie Kennedy will be there doing some stand-up. My wife, Jamie Hanshaw, will be there doing a talk on Hollywood and the occult. And our buddy Isaac Weishaupt, Illuminati Watcher. If you've listened to his podcast, he's often on Sam Tripoli's podcast. He's got a very lively, vibrant audience. June 22nd in Las Vegas. Get your tickets now over at Eventbrite or on my Twitter underneath my post.